about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
You ought to have been on the air by now. What's happening, engineer?
Don't worry, I'm just waiting for the standby light. Should be through at any minute.
Good. Right, stand by, everyone.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know what? I will have some meatloaf. Let's have some meatloaf.
You want some?
I knew you'd come. Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! The meatloaf!
So, Tony, how long do these take about to cook up?
Are you in charge of being a douchebag? Because you're doing a great job.
Chew on that, you clown.
And if you're playing New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, and you've got 26 seconds left, and you're down by 4, and it's second and goal on their 1-yard line, try not to throw an interception.
Too soon.
And now, and more jokes than you can shake a sack full of at
our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. It's the 17th of May.
Hey, it's Norwegian Independence Day. It just occurred to me as you said the date.
Kevin just walked out.
Hey, hey, we're all having fun.
Nope, he's gone. Way to go, Bean.
Hey, come back.
Nope, down the hall.
It's
he's
Norwegian,
gone.
But I thought...
Oh, phone's ringing.
This is not the best start of any Kevin and Bean show ever. That's not the way to start.
It's just, you said the date, and...
And then you said, what?
There's Norwegian Independence Day.
Right. Because
that's what I thought of, because I had noticed ahead of time that today was the day.
Jeff.
Oh, come on, Jeff. Don't leave.
Some years, it's been a while since I've done it, but some years I go down to Ballard, the Scandinavian section of Seattle.
Sure.
And see the Independence Day Parade, which is a lot of fun.
Define a lot of fun.
Well, you know, outfits and...
You in a parade.
Clothes. And I'm not in the parade. I just watch the parade, you know, see the people. So it is Tuesday morning,
yep.
Obviously. It's a holiday. I guess that's where Allie is. She must be celebrating her own Norwegian Independence Day.
No, she's sick.
Right.
I don't think anyone else is aware of the whole Norwegian Independence... Thank you, Chip, for coming back. I'm not sure everybody's aware of that Norwegian Independence Day,
really?
So that's probably not what they're thinking when they call in.
Here's a story to get us started. I always think about the first time anybody ever did a thing on purpose. Like, there's a lot of things that we take for granted. Like, I don't know, eating mushrooms, for instance. Well, at some point in our history, a guy had to say, I wonder if that's edible. That's how almost everything that we do today has had human test subjects. And I thought about that when I read This Book Exists. His name is Justin Schmidt, and he is the king of sting. He has written a book called The Sting of the Wild. Mr. Schmidt is an entomologist who focuses on a specific group of insects that are called Hymenoptera. They are insects that sting.
Okay.
That's his specialty, is insects that sting. Ants, wasps, bees, those sorts of things. So he has traveled all over the world looking for bugs and intentionally getting stung by them because he wanted to write about them. The result of his work is an alarmingly comprehensive pain index. He has been stung by 83 different insects, and he has ranked them on a spectrum of 1 to 4.
That seems stupid.
Well, I mean, I guess you have to know what you're talking about if you're going to write a book on it.
Well,
right?
I guess so. I guess, but you could also write a book about losing your arm. You don't have to cut it off.
Right,
to do that research.
But I think that's different. I mean, I think you want to know about the various animals and insects and birds and everything else that are on the world and what they do. Like, that you have to study the venom of these animals, because who knows what good might come out of it, right? Or perhaps to develop an antidote, for instance, would be another reason why you might want to.
That dude's sitting in the lab going, come on, sting me, come on.
Yes, that's what he's doing.
He's pushing it and annoying it.
For example, the red fire ant, which is native to South America, he says is just a 1. It's sharp, sudden, mildly alarming, like walking across a shag carpet and reaching for a light switch. However, the tarantula hawk clocks in at a 4. Blinding, fierce, shockingly electric, a running hairdryer has just been dropped into your bubble bath. That's how he describes that. He was asked by NPR if he wants to be stung. He said, want isn't quite the right way to put it. Want is kind of a dual word. I want the data from it, but I don't want the sting. If you're interested, by the way, his book is out. It is called The Sting of the Wild, the story of a man who got stung for science. Boy, there sure are a lot of different kinds of people in this world, aren't there?
Yeah, sure.
There sure are a lot of people who would do things that maybe other people wouldn't do. Here's a couple of the other bugs that he writes about. There's the giant Mandarin Japanese hornet. See, I didn't even know a lot of these even existed. These things are about 2 inches long. I want you to think about a hornet for a second that is 2 inches long.
Yeah, that seems bad.
Bullet ants are wonderfully beautiful organisms. They live from Nicaragua down to southern Brazil. They live in the forest. They're black and very stocky looking. You look at them and say they're kind of like a dinosaur. That's a very primitive looking ant, but boy, don't let it deceive you because these ants are truly acrobats. You think of big ants as being sluggards and slow. Don't make that mistake with a bullet ant. And finally, his favorite is the harvester ant. They have the most toxic known insect venom. It's really potent, something like 40 times stronger than a western diamondback rattlesnake.
Wow.
The good news, of course, is that they have very little of it. In other words, it's not going to kill a human. It's enough venom to easily kill the kind of prey that they would kill to eat. He says they have very little venom, but it's extremely long-lasting pain. They're the only insect sting venom that causes the hair on your arm when you've been stung to stand up, like the hair on the back of a dog's neck when it's frightened. It causes sweating. There are all kinds of neurological things that are unique to it. After 35 years of lots of mysteries, we have a lot to discover about the harvester ant. So that's this guy's job. That's what he does when he gets up in the morning. Just goes right at, just pokes wasps.
That's so weird. What a bizarre job. A. B. Who's going to buy that book and carry it around with them? Because I don't think you really worry about stuff until you get stung by something.
Yeah.
And then what are the chances you have that book so you could go, oh, let me look this up?
No, you're probably right about that. But if you're interested, the book is called The Sting of the Wild by Justin O. Schmidt. Not for me, but maybe for someone.
Not for me as well. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach Show, shall we?
This show is so funny. It's the only time I forget the face of the man I killed.
The TSA is in the news a lot now. Because of the long lines, there are some airports that are doing away with it. I didn't even know you could.
Yeah, apparently you can. I mean, airlines are not run by the government, and they don't have to hire government employees, I guess. So, yeah, there are some airlines that are and are investigating replacing the government TSA with private firms. And a lot of people think that's a good idea.
Well, they're saying now that 3 hours is the recommended amount of time to get to the airport.
Yes.
3 hours ahead.
Thousands of people are missing their flights, especially Chicago's O'Hare. I just saw a report in the news last night of people just spending the night there, queued up, trying to get through security. It's just, it's unbelievable.
My favorite thing, though, is when the lines are that long and they have one line open.
Yes.
And there's like 9 others that are just sitting there, just looking at you going, ha ha.
Well, I don't know why it's taking them so long to hire more people, but they do say they have hundreds of people in the pipeline right now that just won't be ready to work until next month. But they are trying to get on that before summer.
We need to get them out of the pipeline. Dr. Sadie Allison will be in studio. It is National Self-Pleasure Month. Who knew?
Right.
It's already the 17th. We didn't even know that. We got to catch up.
We have wasted a lot of nights up till now, Dan.
new feature called Would You Click on That? By the way, the answer should be always no. Just give you the answer right up ahead. There's a guy that has a 666 license plate, and the man is coming down on him, trying to get him to change that. We have W. Kamau Bell in studio.
Oh, I love him so much.
He's got a show on CNN called The United Shades of America, and he's also got a comedy special on Showtime. And we have tickets for The Cure, we have tickets for Blink 182, and we have tickets for the LA Galaxy. All today on The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat. A lot of banjos right there.
Come on. Nothing wrong with a banjo. A
lot
it's
of banjos.
A good American instrument, Kevin. The banjo. A
lot of them, though. A lot of playing that banjo.
Nothing How many do you think there are?
100.
Really? Because I thought there was like maybe one.
I think there is one banjo in that song.
Pretty sure it's 100.
No, it's one banjo playing in the banjo.
Just a guy playing a banjo.
Agree to disagree.
No, it's really just not that at all. It's just one guy playing a banjo in that band. Now, how many banjos do you think are playing right now in this song?
Two.
See, this may be the problem. Ken has a bad relationship with banjos.
He does.
I don't like them.
Hey,
there's nothing wrong with
I'm
them.
Not down with them.
They're fine. It's a fine instrument.
It's not fine.
It's completely fine.
It's the devil's instrument.
It's not the devil's instrument. That would be Kevin the bagpipe.
Everyone knows that. Into a swamp or something and made to squeal like a pig at some point. It sounds like
you've got some bad relations.
Some issues.
You have bad banjo thoughts.
I do.
Feelings.
5:56 here on a Tuesday morning. That's the voice of our friend Ralph Garman. Time for our very first look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Rihanna's nice.
Yes,
I like her. Nice. She made some new friends in Houston this week. She headed out to a gentleman's club called V Live around 3:30 a.m. in the morning, and she brought with her what you have to bring when you go to a strip club.
Ones.
A big fat stack of cash, and she made it rain with $15,000 that she provided to the ladies who were plying their trade there at V-Live in Houston.
Wow.
And everyone had a great time. She made it rain on them hoes,
right? Like you do.
$15,000.
$15,000. That must be a sweet life if you got $15,000 to just blow at a strip club.
I feel like she does have a sweet life.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
She earns it, but
yeah. She does. Henry Cavill, Superman, apparently calling it quits with his 19-year-old girlfriend. He really is a Superman. If you can break up with a 19-year-old, better man than me, Clark Kent. The London Sun tabloid saying the relationship is over. He is 31. She is 19. He was the love of her life, they say, but apparently Henry is ready to move on. But according to friends, he hopes to stay friends with her.
Mm, sure.
I bet he does.
Do you think, Ralph, you've been around show business for a long time. You see how these things play out. Do you think he'll be able to find another woman to date?
I don't know. Yeah, he's kind of damaged goods now. I think most women will look at a movie star after he's had a relationship that didn't fare well and say, well, he's not really relationship material. I don't think I can take a chance on Henry Cavill. I'm dating
Superman.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he might be alone for the rest of his life.
Wow. Yeah, that's my fear.
It's just a gut feeling. My gut's usually right.
Yeah, I don't know that that's true.
I think it is. CBS has announced more series to their list of renewals for the upcoming season. Criminal Minds Beyond Borders, right? I've never seen that show. I haven't either. I'm sure it's fine. Undercover Boss is coming back.
Oh, that's still on?
Yes.
Wow.
Code Black.
That's still on?
Yep. The Odd Couple, the Matthew Perry sitcom, The Odd Couple, is returning for another season.
Hmm, that's surprising.
Color me shocked.
Yeah.
Sadly, however, Rush Hour will not be coming back. There was a TV show based on the movie Rush Hour.
Has that debuted yet?
It has. It's been airing now for weeks.
Rush Hour?
Rush Hour. And it shan't return.
They sure tried to hire guys that looked exactly like the guys they couldn't afford to get for that, didn't they?
Well, the two gentlemen, Justin Hires and John Fu, do bear a striking resemblance to Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, for sure.
When does that start, though? When does
that has been
put
airing
on
now
air?
For some time, Kevin. It's been a series of weeks it's been airing, and America apparently not thrilled. Hmm.
CBS cares.
They do. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Bill Paxton is 61 years old today. Very talented actor. One of my favorites.
That's a good career right there, by the way.
It is.
Bill Paxton. Never a big star, but reliable and works a lot and is always great.
And in a lot of different types of roles, too. He's a guy who's with a lot of range. Bob Saget, our buddy Bobby Sag. B-Sag.
No one calls him B-Sag.
We called him B-Sag yesterday when he was in on the show.
Stop it.
We called him B-Sag.
No one said that.
I said, hey, what's up, B-Sag?
Nobody said that. That's not a thing.
He celebrates his birthday today. She's 60 years old. Sugar Ray Leonard, also 60. Craig Ferguson. He used to be the host of the Late Late Show.
I liked him.
Now he's got a show on history. You should watch it.
It's on history.
What? You immediately discount anything that's on the History Channel?
Yep.
What if he does a show on banjos?
On the History Channel. being stung by a harvester ant.
I'm all in.
He's 54 years old. Trent Reznor's 51. Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age is 43. And actress Nikki Reed, she's 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Get your chance to win some tickets to go see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl. When is that show? May 24th is when? Is that this coming weekend?
Yeah, next week.
Okay, soon, very soon, your chance to win those tickets this hour. We also have tickets in the fourth row for Blink 182, along with A Day to Remember and All Time Low. How's that for a great bill? That'll be at 9 o'clock this morning. Christine, our assistant producer, is in the studio with us. Hey, Christine.
Hey, guys.
I have to prepare myself because every time you're on the air, we get all the emails from everybody who's like, oh, my God, she has the best voice. I love her. She sounds so cute. I want to date her.
Okay.
But I'm glad you're in
here.
Do they
say it in a whiny voice?
They do. I'm glad you're in here because we were having a discussion that I think we need your input on. Yesterday on the show, I came across an article with this headline. Man's penis snapped in half while having vigorous sex.
Oh, my God.
Now, for 10 years, maybe, we've been playing off the air, would you click on this link?
Right.
So you read that headline, and then the question is, do you click or do you move on?
Absolutely not.
Well, let's play the nifty song first.
It might be something you can never unsee. Would you click the link? Do you have curiosity? It might be something your brain can never take back. Would you click on that? Click.
Look. The internet is fraught with danger. Let's face it. When you open up, particularly your social media, where you don't have any control over what you're looking at, it can be – you don't know what's going to happen in front of you. And I think everybody has a level at which they won't click. Like, for instance, me, if I see a headline and something bad has happened to a kid or to an animal, I probably am not going to click on that link because I just – I don't want it in my life. Don't want it in my head. Too upsetting. I'd rather not know. Something like this, though, is not likely to happen to me for a lot of reasons. Mostly the vigorous and the sex part. So, on the, you know, realistically, I could click on this and not have to worry about, oh my God, that's out there, that could happen, because I'm safe from this one.
Right. Your penis is already dead.
But I also, man's penis snapped in half. Those words make me not want to see it. I did not click on the photo.
But wait, you tweeted it.
Yes, I tweeted it and I wrote, I am not clicking on this photo. Are you clicking on this photo? I am not clicking on this photo.
Okay.
And many, many people who follow me did click on the photo, and about half of them seemed to really regret it. And the other half were woo-woo, you know, because there are
what?
There are certain woo-woo.
Wait,
what?
There are friends that saw this picture and they went woo-woo.
There are a certain number of people out there who love gross stuff and crazy stuff.
How a penis snap elicits that response?
Yeah, it wouldn't for me, that's for sure. But I think I'm glad both of you guys are in here because I think you have different mindsets on this. For instance, Kevin, when you saw man's penis snapped in half while having vigorous sex. You couldn't wait to open that link,
well,
right?
Well, in truth, I had two thoughts, one right after the other.
All right.
That sounds horrible. I don't want to see that. How could I not? That's my thought process.
And they come to they happen one right after another.
Pretty much
that fast.
Almost the same thought, yeah.
All right. So you open the article,
yes.
And the article is safe. Headline, what's it like when your penis snaps in half? This guy knows. He says he was having vigorous sex. He heard the noise and felt severe pain at the same time. He's a 32-year-old from New Delhi. He arrived at the hospital. All right. His case has been documented in the BMJ case reports, blah, blah, blah. So then they have a link warning this picture is extremely graphic, and thank God they blacked it out. So you don't have to see it. You can read the article and not see the photo.
It says, warning, this picture is extremely graphic. And then it says, click to reveal.
All right. Now, how long did your hand... hover over that mouse before you decided to click it.
I was look at you can sort of see the outline. I was once I clicked on the article, I felt like I was committed. You know, like I'm already all in.
Really?
I clicked on the article. I mean, don't you wonder as a guy who has that what it would be like?
No.
I'm not saying what it would feel like. I'm just saying how that could happen. You know, how that could happen to a penis?
Well, penile fracture occurs when a penis undergoes a blunt trauma during intercourse or otherwise. bending the penis and causing a tear or a rupture of the tunica albugina and tracking of blood from the cavernous sinuses into the subcutaneous plane. Oh. So I still don't know how that could happen.
Right.
But that's the explanation in the article of how it could happen. So I clicked on the article because I wanted to find out how something like that would happen. Because you know me, I always got to have more information.
Sure.
I did not click on the photo.
Well, you need more information then.
I don't need that. I don't need that. Christine, you come across an article like this. You don't have to worry about it ever happening to you. You could cause it, though.
I hope not.
Why do you say that all sexy, B?
You could cause it.
I know. That's not sexy time.
No. You could cause it if you're doing it wrong. What's your thought when you see this story? Would you click on it?
Well, first of all, I'm a little disturbed because I chose not to click on it yesterday, and yet here it is in front of me on a screen with Kevin hovering over it with a mouse about to click to reveal.
I'm going to give you a heads up.
This is not what I signed up for.
Oh, by the way, this is what you signed up for. Anybody that works on this show is automatically signed up for this.
So normally I would never, ever click on something with that. Why would you do that? Because that would be in your head forever. I mean, how do you get an image like that out of your head, right? But because of this damn job,
right?
I have to click on these kinds of things all the time.
See? See? So you have to.
But you guys saw it, so why do I have to see it?
All right, now let me tell you one more piece of information. It's worse than I thought.
Oh, my God! I don't want to see it! No!
It's literally, I thought I knew what I was going to see, and then I saw it, and it's not good. That's not
coming from you, Kevin. Of all people,
Kevin's got a pretty high tolerance for weirdness too.
Although anything Psycho Mike sends me, I will not click on that.
Yeah. Oh, he's the worst.
Yeah,
he is the worst. But it mostly involves poop too, and that makes it even worse. In general, Christine, is the internet a minefield for you, where you are constantly trying to avoid things that you just would prefer not to have in your head?
Because it's not even just gross. It's like horrible, awful, like real life things. You know? You just don't want to see all these horrible, bad things happen to people, including penises snapping in half.
Right.
I'm gonna put that in that category too.
But isn't there any part of your mind that goes, for what I know about biology, how is this possible?
You know, that did cross my mind because of the word snap.
Right? That's what I thought.
I don't understand.
Snaps?
Yeah.
So I expected that I would just see, you know, a right turn, a 90 degree angle.
That's
what I expected. Worse than that.
All right. I think, on behalf of the audience.
Right?
The audience.
I mean,
and by the way, anyone who wants to play along, Dave, maybe you could retweet and post on social media my link if anyone wants to enjoy this for their own selves. But
here's what I'm going to say. Don't do it.
Don't post the link?
No. You can post it.
Okay.
I'm telling people not to click on the picture.
Really? And you're the one who couldn't wait to click on the picture.
Christine is now in the corner, in the fetal position on the floor.
Gently sobbing.
You don't have to see it.
Oh, I think she does. I think she has to see it. Again, I think she's representing the audience who can't get to it right now.
I see. Okay. So this is her job.
Right. This is a public service.
All right.
It's a public service. All right. What's it like when your penis snaps in half? This guy knows.
No!
Kevin, are you controlling the mouse here?
Yep.
Christine, are you looking?
I'm looking.
Don't close your eyes.
She's looking from a great distance.
Get up close because you don't want to miss.
Is this really my job today, guys?
I mean.
Is this really my job?
Sort of is. Sorry. All right, here we go. Ready?
Oh, my God! What in the world?
How's that going?
It's a white guy, and his entire penis is black.
Yes. From blood being inside?
I think so.
Or bruising, or what?
His testicles are black.
Oh, I'm not looking. I'm not clicking on it. I'm not as dumb as Christine.
Oh, my God.
But you're not as dumb as Christine.
You have to be just forced to do it.
So on one hand, it's dead. But on the other hand, it's black. So maybe that's a step up.
Can he come back from that? The way you've described it, is that the type of thing you recover from?
Because
we've all seen injuries. We've all seen injuries where there's a lot of bruising and stuff, and eventually it goes away. Is that what's going to happen to this guy?
I don't see this being recovered.
Really?
Nope.
So you think that was his last ever time?
This probably fell off 5 minutes after they took this picture.
Oh.
Yeah.
That doesn't look good.
No.
Oh, it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good.
Well, the answer should be no to this question. Would you click on
that? The Cure, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday night at the Hollywood Bowl, one of the all-time great K-Rock bands. You know, we talk about sometimes if there were such thing as a Mount Rushmore for K-Rock bands, I think The Cure might even be on it. Would you agree?
I would say so, yeah.
And it's always a treat when they come to town. Doesn't happen all that often. We are giving away tickets right now for Tuesday night's show at the Bowl. If you are a big Cure fan, you'll need to love them and you'll need to know their music. We want your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to play a game to win those Cure tickets from the Kevin and Bean Show coming up in minutes.
There's a guy named Daniel in Canada who has a vanity license plate, and it is VI, the number 6, and then SIX.
So three different ways to say six.
666.
Okay.
And the government is saying, hey, you can't have that because that's a religious message. Mm-hmm. It's the mark of the beast. You got to take it off.
You know, every state, and I guess it's a Canada story, so lots of countries too, they have a lot of restrictions on what you can and can't put on your plates. In California, you know, you can't put WTF on a plate. You can't have the word sucks on a plate. You can't have triple X on a plate. I mean, they've got a long list of things that they ban, and I guess it's the same up there.
Now, this guy Daniel is denying that it's the mark of the beast, that it's anything having to do with religion. He says it represents his dad.
Wait, it's 666, though.
Right.
How does that represent his dad?
Well, the VI in his license plate is not meant to represent the number 6, but rather it's short for VIE, the French word for life. The other two sixes are representative of the love his father and he shared for hockey. His father died when this guy was 19 years old. They had won 6 Stanley Cups in that amount of time.
Okay.
So this is a tribute to his dad and to their love of hockey. This isn't 666, the mark of the beast.
And the government of Ontario was buying that,
They said, nope.
They
take
said,
it
not
off.
So much.
Plus, Mario Lemieux was their favorite player. His number was 66.
Okay.
So there's a lot of ways this is not the mark of the beast to this guy, but Canada doesn't care.
Well, let's find out how he's dealing with it. Mr. Daniel D'Alessio joins us from Ontario, Canada right now. Hey, Daniel, welcome to the program, sir.
How are you doing today? It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, it's nice to talk to you. It sounds like you have you fought the law and the law won in this case.
I can't believe they take the license plate off my car because they think it's, 666, but it is, in fact, about my love of the hockey game.
Right.
Right. I mean, in their defense, though, for whatever reasons you have to use this plate, it does say 666, and most people will interpret it differently than how you meant it.
Well, I think you must look for it in that way, for it to be that way.
I don't know. I don't know if 666 is, I mean, I think that pretty much jumps out at people.
Well, VI is not 6.
Well, it is.
No, it's for V, a French word.
Right.
Of course, life, c'est la vie.
Right, but it's still a 6, though.
No, it's
Daniel.
A V.
Okay. Okay.
And then 6 is for, 6 Stanley Cups
right,
for the Montreal
right.
Canadiens.
Understood, yes.
And then 6 also for the same 6 Cups that they won before.
Uh-huh.
Or it could be 6-6 for Mario Lemieux, one of my favorite all-time players who also had cancer and came back from it.
I
like
see.
My father also had cancer.
Uh-huh. So you really had to bend yourself into a pretzel to make up all these different things that weren't 666.
Well, how do you fit all that on the license plate? It's not easy. It's like saying something important on Twitter. It's hard to find everything way to put in.
Did you run into anybody else that took that as 666, not just the government?
Yes, lots of people say, oh, you're a devil worshiper, and it makes me so angry because they misinterpret my love for my father and also for the hockey.
You, Daniel, what's happening?
Oh, that is just me in the neighborhood here giving away free exfoliation for women with flaky skin. I help them take the skin off from
that
the
sounded,
kindness of my heart.
That sounded like a whip and somebody that was in extreme pain.
Well, that you have to be twisted to look at it that way, I think. It's just me trying to do a favor for a neighbor.
Okay, what? That sounds like a taser. What's happening?
No, that is electrolysis. for the same woman,
uh-huh,
because she also has unsightly hair growing.
Okay.
Where she does not want it. So I, at the kindness of my heart, it's like a small spa I run here for nothing for the neighbors. And she's
so,
very happy. Yes, we also do men. We also have men here.
Wow. But they
want to come.
They don't... Is that the rack? What's going on? What? What? Sorry, we don't know what that was.
I also, it was the wreck.
Okay.
But I offer free chiropractic care as well for stretching of spine, and everyone seems to love it very much.
Oh. Oh, I think I know what that is, Daniel.
I don't think you know what that is at all.
Oh, what is that?
I have a little cold in my throat. Anybody have a lozenge?
Okay, but Daniel, you sound like you've just turned into Satan.
Well, that you have to look at it like that. Maybe I just love hockey and electrolysis.
You're just misunderstood again.
I'm so sorry. This devil voice is so low, it's hard to understand me.
Well, I mean, we can understand you.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you're the devil, though, and that's what Ontario's been saying about your license plate, is that you're some sort of Satan worshiper.
Listen, why does everybody think that of me?
Well, because of the torture and the hell and the flames and the rack and everything else you're doing.
Maybe I'm just a man who loves hockey and who has horns and a tail.
And that's normal where you come from?
Yes.
Next hour here on the show, the very funny W. Kamau Bell is going to be joining us in studio. Looking forward to that. Right now, though, we want to hook you up with tickets for this Tuesday night at the Hollywood Bowl, talking about a little band called The Cure. They're just underway with their 25-city tour across North America right now. And we've got a new game to play for you called Finish the Line.
You want to win the tickets? You must know the lyrics. Come on now, it's easy. You can win for Sheezy. Finish the line, and you win this time.
Okay, win the tickets.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Just finish the line.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Okay, here we go.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Ow!
Nothing says The Cure like a good old Calypso theme song,
right?
That's for sure. So Finish the Line. In other words, we'll be playing famous, popular Cure songs that you know, and then when the music stops, you sing whatever the next line is. That's pretty self-explanatory, right?
Yep.
All right. Who's our first contestant? Let's see how it goes.
Start with Jonathan in Pomona. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Finish the Line. We're going to play you a part of a Cure song. As soon as it stops, you tell us what's next.
Okay.
All right. Here you go.
I try to laugh about it, cover it all up with lies.
I try to laugh about it, hiding my tears in my eyes, cause they...
Nice.
Well
nice.
Done, John.
I try to laugh about it, hiding my tears in my eyes, cause...
I was a little nervous, you being our first contestant, because traditionally we have found on this show that men are not very good with knowing the words to songs. Usually that's more of the ladies' talent. But congratulations, you are in the drawing. You might win the Cure tickets. Please hold on.
All right, let's go to Edgar, who is calling us from Fullerton. Hi, Edgar.
How's it going, sir?
Good. Thank you. Don't call me sir. All right, you ready?
Finish, ready when you are.
Finish the line. Here it is.
I don't care if Monday's black, Tuesday, Wednesday, hard to tell.
Oh, Thursday. Oh, no. Thursday. Don't call me back.
Thursday, never looking back. It's Friday.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Sorry.
He was very
yes,
powerful
was.
With that Thursday, though, wasn't he?
Yes, he
did
was.
Have that.
And it was correct, the Thursday
yep.
part. All right, let's go to Carmen in San Fernando. Hi, Carmen.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there. You ready to win tickets for The Cure?
Sure am.
All right, finish the line.
Only I know of who I was. I couldn't hold on to your heart.
I've only thought of the right words. I wouldn't be falling apart. My pictures of you.
That too. Is close enough. It's breaking apart, but falling apart, we'll give it to you. You're in the drawing. Well done.
Nicely done. All right, let's.
I'm in the drawing.
All right. Let's go to what'd she say? I thought she said I'm an attorney, which doesn't make any sense. Matt in Fontana, hi.
Hi.
All right, you ready?
Yes.
Here's your Cure song.
I've waited hours for this. I'm an
myself so sick.
I do know the S word is not in the lyrics.
Never thought this day would end. Never thought tonight would ever be.
All right. Thank you for the call.
You know, the thing with this game is, that's not the right button. The thing with this game is everyone has heard these songs their whole lives.
Yeah, that's the frustrating part.
And yeah, and you know it. I mean, you know it, and it's one of your favorite songs. Look, you're on the line because you're a Cure fan, and you there's just, for whatever reason, you just don't remember what the lyrics are.
Yeah. Let's try Andrew in Azusa. Hi there.
What's up, party people?
Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Finish the line.
Whenever I'm alone with you, you make me feel like I am young again.
I mean,
that's the line. Just saying, we were looking for the next line. You're close. You sure it's young again?
Fun again.
Fun again!
Yes!
Yes, yeah. Nicely done. Okay, we're not going to play that one. Thank you. Hold on.
Apparently someone had enough of that one.
Chips in a rush.
All right. I think we got time for another.
Joy in Studio City. Hi.
Hello, good morning.
All right, are you ready to finish the line?
I think so.
Here we go. Good luck.
Into the sea, you and me, all the years and no one
heard. Oh, it's a treacherous thing with me. You have the love cat.
I thought that was pretty close.
Yes, it was pretty close.
I didn't hear anything about spring or treacherous thing. I didn't hear any of those words.
I did say treacherous.
I do. I heard treacherous. And I heard love cats.
Okay, we're being easy. So, okay, you're in the drive.
I'll show you in spring. It's a treacherous thing. We miss you.
Let's do one more and go out on a bang. How about
all right. We're taking for granted that Gabe and Laguna Niguel is going to be a bang. Is that correct?
Yes. Gabe, I've got confidence in you. You ready to play?
Oh, totally.
Finish the line.
Here you go.
Why are you so far away from me? Why won't you ever know that I'm in love with you? How's that?
That was outstanding.
That's good.
Brought it and brought the falsetto, too. Well done. All right. Had a lot of good Cure fans on the line. Only one will win tickets for Tuesday night at the Hollywood Bowl. Is it going to be Jonathan, Carmen, Andrew, Joy, or Gabe? Chip, who's our winner, please?
Our winner is Gabe.
Gabe. Yay! Gabe brought it, and Gabe won. Congratulations.
Bye. Sweet. Thank you, guys.
Nice. Enjoy the Cure. Thanks for playing the game.
Finish the line, and you win this time.
Ow! 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Shh, it's not over yet.
I feel like...
Shh. Hey!
Sort of, shh.
Hey!
Shh. And that's the part you wanted to hear, Ron?
Yeah, I love that part.
That's your favorite part?
Yeah.
Kevin announced earlier today, unbeknownst to me, that this is National Self-Pleasure Month, so apparently I've already missed out on quite a few days of being able to celebrate. But we will have Dr. Sadie Allison in studio with us here in the 8 o'clock hour to talk about that and so much more. That's all coming up. Also, comedian W. Kamau Bell next hour. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Ha! Kevin said last hour he would never watch anything on the History Channel. Ha! Ha! What if I tell you this, Kevin? What if I tell you the History Channel rolled out its summer lineup yesterday?
Okay.
And it's kicking off Memorial Day with Roots, a remake of Roots. Roots.
Oh, yeah.
Roots. I am a 1,000,000% in on the remake of Roots, by the way.
I am, too.
1,000,000%.
It's a great story. It's a great American story.
And the original was so great, but, you know, a little dated, 40 years on, right?
Sure. I suppose.
That sounds good.
Oh, sounds good. How about a documentary about El Chapo? How about the El Chapo documentary? Oh, no, you can't. You can't be in, Kevin, because you're not allowed to watch anything because you won't watch anything on the History Channel.
El Chapo.
Another documentary on famous hijacker D.B. Cooper?
Nope.
Why not?
That's a fascinating story, Kevin. I think you would love that. It's like a heist movie.
He's the only successful American hijacker, you know, who got the money and got out and never got caught.
Sounds interesting.
Then why won't you watch a show on it?
Not gonna. I'm a busy guy.
What about a series about the U.S. Navy SEAL Team 6?
Yes.
Oh, Kevin, but it's on History Channel.
On
no, but you can't watch it because it's on History Channel.
All in on that.
You cannot watch it because you said you wouldn't watch a History Channel.
Right, I lied.
Oh, too bad.
I lied.
Nope. Burn. Charbroiled.
You're not watching. You're committed to whatever your first answer was. I'm sorry.
On the record. And a new reality series. Wait for it. Starring Ozzy and Jack Osbourne. Yep, Ozzy and Jack's World Detour. Where they travel around the world taking on world history with an Osbourne slant.
All right, I don't know.
Come on!
I don't think
right?
We need that one.
Ozzy and Jack, 10-part miniseries with them taking on world history.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
I don't think.
Come on!
I don't see my.
Some of those other shows, though, good.
That one.
Ozzy and Jack!
Right.
Why is this wall so big in China? Well, come on, all over the world looking at stuff. You don't get it, man.
I'll record it. And then
you don't get it.
Then if everybody says it's great, then
nope.
I'll watch.
You're not allowed to record either because you won't watch it. It's on History Channel.
I'm allowed to flip-flop.
Bloop-a-loop-a-loop. Bloop-a-loop-a-loop-a-loop.
I don't even know what that is.
It's my burn sound.
I see.
Hey, this is kind of cool. You know, there was a movie called Monty Python and the Holy Grail back in the day. One of the classic comedy movies.
That I saw and loved.
Then they made a hilarious, entertaining musical out of that film called Spamalot that Eric Idle put up on stage.
Right.
It was also very fun. Now it looks like there's going to be a movie version of the musical, which was a version of the movie.
I see.
So now we've come full circle. Spamalot the movie.
All right.
You know how they know? You know how these showbiz types suss this all out? Because 20th Century Fox yesterday registered the domain names MontyPythonSpamalotMovie.com and SpamalotMovie.com.
Really?
See? That's how you know. That's how you tell the secret information.
Who's checking on that?
I would be interested to know who owns that website. And Michael Bay announced the title for the 5th Transformer movie yesterday. Right?
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg will be back for Transformers The Last Night.
Oh, does that mean it's the last one, though?
I have no idea. It's Knight with a K.
Oh.
So it may not be the last Transformers, but it may be the last Knight. I don't even know who the Knight is. I don't understand any of this. But this will be the 5th. Of course, Shia LaBeouf was in the first 3 films. Then Wahlberg replaced him in the last one, Transformers Age of Extinction. And now we have Transformers The Last Night.
Do your Wahlberger impression. From that movie, please.
Wahlberger?
Wahlberg. Did I say burger?
That's his restaurant. That's his brother's.
That's why I was confused. Ralph now has to pretend to make a hamburger.
All right, I wonder. I'm really hungry. I'd like
making
a hamburger.
Right?
Looks like we have a Transformer.
That's it. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Kevin, that was terrible.
Do you feel like you're still getting your money's worth out of these Transformer films?
No.
Transformer films?
I don't. If I was watching the Transformers, it might be a lot different.
Transformers starring Mark Wahlberger. What's wrong with you two?
Will you go to Transformers 5?
No. I will, and I will regret it. Is the answer to that.
We have a Transformer.
Yeah, because that one was not good.
Of course he's going, Bean. What question is that?
It does have a lot of louds.
Yeah.
Oh, so much louds. And I love when the robots fight because you can't really tell who's fighting or who's winning. It's just a lot of metal flying around on the screen. It gets very confusing. That makes for good entertainment.
And you don't really care about
any of them. I'd rather that it was Captain America, Civil War, but not all candy.
Really, the battle scenes, you have no idea what's going on in those Transformer battle scenes. It's just a lot of metal flying around, and it's really hard to make out exactly what's happening on the screen.
Well, I mean, for you, being a novice and all.
I don't have that. The hawk-like eyes and razor-sharp wit. Of a Kevin Ryder.
Thank you for noticing.
And this is very exciting. ABC. Remember the band ABC? ABC.
Sure. Yes.
Shoot that poison arrow through my heart.
Great song. Look of Love.
The Look of Love.
Great stuff.
Be near me. Be near. When Smokey sings.
Right.
Wow. ABC.
Yes.
A lot of hits.
Yes.
They're back. They got back together. back.
Okay.
And they're going to tour this fall. And they're going to perform the entire 1982 album Lexicon of Love on tour, including tunes from their new album, Lexicon of Love 2, the sequel, which comes out on May 27th.
So soon?
Come on!
There'll be people who
If I was to say to you, can you keep a secret? Would you know just what to do or where to keep it?
I don't know that song.
You broke my heart, Cupid, Cupid.
I don't feel like we need this.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Wait till you see my one-man show.
Yeah, well.
ABC You Later.
I would watch that.
Ralph, if there's any way, and I don't know how much you're running the concert tour that they're putting on, but...
Well, you know, I'm in their manager.
He's behind the whole thing.
If there's any way you can get Haircut 100 to open, then I am in.
Love Plus One.
I love that band.
Spandau Ballet. Let's have a whole show just full of guys in skinny ties and suits.
I like it.
Me too. Come on, Kevin, you on board?
Nope.
What if we aired it on the History Channel?
Man, I'm in. You know, I love everything on the History Channel.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bill Paxton, 61 years old today. Bob Saget turns 60. Sugar Ray Leonard, one of the greats, 60 years old. No, that's a different Sugar Ray. This is Sugar Ray Leonard, a legendary boxer. He was a boxer. Not Sugar Ray.
Yeah,
not Mark McGrath.
He would sing this on the way into the ring.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
What's that?
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah, I used to sing that song before he fought.
Craig Ferguson's 54. Trent Reznor's 51. Josh Homme is 43 years old today. And actress Nikki Reed celebrates her 28th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
My name is W. Kamau Bell. As a comedian, I've made a living finding humor in the parts of America I don't understand. And now, I'm challenging myself to dig deeper. I'm on a mission. Reach out and experience all the cultures and beliefs that add color to this crazy country. This is the United Shades of America.
Yeah, it is. W. Kamau Bell back in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The show is called United Shades of America, Sunday nights at 10 on CNN. Hey, Kamau.
Hey, it's nice to have a theme song. That was great. I got fired up. Star-spangled fired up.
Thank you for coming. It's great to see you again. And we'll talk about your new comedy special on Showtime coming up as well. But I'm so fascinated by this show. You're certainly not the first person who's done this sort of hour-long look at a facet of American life.
How dare you? Dare you? I invented this after I saw Bourdain and Spurlock and Lisa Ling and Mike Rowe and Mythbusters guys.
But it does come from your own sense of humor and your own curiosity. And that's what I love about you is you're a very curious person about some of the things that exist that you really, up till this point in your life, have never spent any time thinking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, as a comedian, you travel a lot, and you see a lot of different places, and you talk to a lot of different people, but you don't engage with them except at the show, and then you run back to the hotel. So, but there's always these conversations you get into where you're like, what is going on in your life? And so, like, this is an opportunity to actually figure that out.
I got to tell you, we were having a conversation before you came in. I find it hard to believe that the KKK still exists.
See, that was the whole point of that show, because there's two different groups. There's two different groups of people who respond to the show. There's people like you who go, I can't believe they exist. We call those people white people. And then there's black people go, yeah, they still exist.
Wow.
And it allows black people like, why are you putting them on TV? Like, so, yeah, but that was the whole point of that show, is that I knew they had, because I follow them. They're one of my hobbies is following the KKK. And,
I'm sorry, you said that's one of your hobbies.
I like to keep track of them. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. Yeah,
because
right. In case they ever, you know, meet the gates in Berkeley, I need to know that they're on
well,
the way.
They're keeping track of you too, Kamau.
Exactly.
So don't worry
now
about
they are.
That.
Now they are. Yeah.
You had a little bit of protection in that you were going into all of those meetings with the Klan and other places that you've been with a camera crew. So you were never really afraid for your safety, right?
That's not true.
Not true. Okay.
I mean, let's just talk about the Klan episode in and of itself. I met the camera crew and most of the crew the night before at the hotel in Kentucky where we were staying. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know anybody. So as
well,
far
that
as
seems like bad planning.
Yes, yes. So as far as I'm concerned, like, how do I know these guys aren't the Klan?
That's true. I can't really count on them.
And then also we were shooting at like night on dirt roads and stuff like that. And there was just a sense that like, I don't know, there's not 50 Klan members in the dark, or that one guy's going to flip out, and go like, I have to kill him. I can't take it. Who's going to flip out and try to come after me?
So it was funny when you said you wish this could take place in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, never going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Yeah, yeah.
That's just insanity. But you have. You're nice. That's the thing about you. Like, you don't go in there and thumb your nose at them and make fun of them. You're actually nice to them.
I mean, the whole point is that we want to, like, film and get them to talk and sort of get them into their, and sort of let them get comfortable and talk. And that doesn't happen if I go and throw in chairs like a 90 Springer episode, you know? So
that would also be a good episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, an episode. You're still making this show, Jerry. You're still making this show. I would love to do that episode.
If you'd like to see more.
Yeah.
So, come out. When you sit down with the Klansmen, and you had that one guy in the town in, I don't know, Arkansas or wherever it was.
Harrison, Arkansas.
When you sat down with him and you had a conversation, I mean, it looked like he liked you. It looked like he respected you as a man, and he understood that you were intelligent and that you had a good point of view. But there's still, he can't get over this thing that's ingrained in him, that whites are better and pure and everybody else is mud people. What do you think it is that's
Wow, you said that real easily. That just came right out of his throat right at you.
Yeah. What do you think it is?
He couldn't get over the fact that they're mud people. Hey, slow down, sir.
Take it easy.
What do you think, having spent time in these communities, what do you think it is that's the disconnect between, all right, I'm meeting you and I like you and you're nice and we can have a conversation and live next to each other, but you still be a Klansman? Why can't they drop it at this point?
Because that's what they've sort of gone all in on that identity and all in on the idea that, like, there's this whole thing called white supremacy. And there's this whole idea, and the country was built on it, it runs on it, but there's this whole idea that I'm supposed to be doing better than I am. And I'm just supposed to be doing better than I am because I'm white. That's the only reason, not based on anything. And if I'm not doing better than I am because I'm white, then it must be some black person's fault. And so they can't get over the fact that, like, I'm supposed to, like, every white guy who's in the Klan thinks, I'm supposed to be Tom Brady. I know I'm supposed to be Tom Brady. Right. I don't know why I went wrong, but I'm supposed to be Tom. I'm supposed to be good looking. I'm supposed to be married to a supermodel. I'm supposed to be a quarterback on a star team. I'm supposed to be rich. Somehow black people are stopping this from happening.
They're raised that way. I imagine that's the only way they can still hold on to it, because once they meet you and have a conversation.
Yeah, it's still like, I talked to that black guy. He seemed nice, but I'm still not Tom Brady. So somehow this isn't.
Somehow it's his fault, right?
Yeah.
So do you think, and I think the Klan is smaller now than it was 80 years ago, so maybe we're heading in the right direction. Yeah, but do you think?
But a lot of those guys who would have been in the Klan are now just in this. Tea Party or running. They ran for president.
But do you think I've heard that children are our future. So do you think that because
my children, mixed race kids, are our future.
That's right. Yeah. Right. Do you think, though, that now the kids, even if they're raised by those people, that we're discussing in the Klan, do you think because they have access to so much more multiculturalism as a result of being connected to the internet, that it's going to be a lot harder to keep that mindset going for the younger generation?
I mean, I think if you think that way, you start to get lazy and think that, well, it's eventually going to age out of this. But I think there's still people raising hateful people. And also we did meet a kid there who was actually the grandson of Pastor Rob, the guy who was there. And he was like a 12-year-old kid. And he had a look in his face that was like, get me out of here. Like, it really looked like he was like, there was just a sense. And that's why we covered his face up. We pixelated his face out, because I was like, this dude actually, I think this kid knows the difference.
But
he can't get out of Arkansas right now.
Mixed race kids are the future, by the way. I often think that they should, and I know this is going to sound controversial, but I think in adoptions, they should force you to adopt somebody who's not the same race as you. I really do.
Take it easy. I don't want the government telling me.
He's trying to correct from that mud racist comment.
What's happening? That's an overcorrection, right?
I know. I know that it's unrealistic. You can't really force people to adopt a different race. But if everybody did, I feel like racism would collapse on itself, because everybody's family would be the same as everybody else's family.
There's certain white people I don't want with black kids.
That's acceptable.
Because I do think I have white friends who have adopted black kids. But that's if you do it right, that's a job. Yeah. Like, if you're a white person who's raising a black kid, that's like you have another full-time job trying to figure out how to raise a black child.
That guy in the Klan was saying that a mixed race relationship was worse than murder.
Yeah, I tried to let him say, don't say that, sir.
That's
you don't
insanity.
Want to say that.
You did give him an out.
I tried to claim, clearly you're not saying that, because that would sound insane, and you're saying this in television cameras, and it's going to be on television. And I'm guaranteeing this will be on TV, because I will not let this not get on TV.
We're talking to W. Kamau Bell here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is a very famous and very funny comedian. We'll talk about his Showtime special in a couple minutes. Right now, we're discussing United Shades of America, a fascinating series, Sunday nights at 10 on CNN. We're about halfway through the run right now. You've done San Quentin. Mm-hmm. You've done Kamau Meets the Latino Community.
Yes, here in L.A.
You've done Hey, What's It Like to Be a Cop on the mean streets of Camden, New Jersey. What other upcoming shows do you have?
We have the mean streets of Portland, Oregon coming up. They're not mean. I'm just kidding. It's all about.
A trailer for that. You asked that guy about the word hipster is the N-word.
Yeah.
In Portland,
no Portland hipster wants to be called a hipster. So I was like, is that like the N-bomb of Portland? And he spit coffee everywhere.
Yeah, his head almost exploded. Yeah.
Did you meet any blipsters while you were there? I learned that word from you, Kamau.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a blipster.
There's no blipsters.
Black people invented hip, so we can't be black hipsters. That's not how it works out.
But there are blurs
are fake.
Though, right?
There are blurs. I'm a proud member of the blurred community.
The black nerds. Okay.
Black nerds, yes.
All right. So you got Portland. Okay. What else you got?
This week we're going to Asheville. Talk to people living off the grid. We're in North Carolina and South Carolina. We talked to like full-on like prepper, like a prepper dude.
I love
preppers.
Yeah. And a woman who lives in a tiny house. So that's going to be a good one. I can't remember what it was in that episode because it was such a long time ago. But then we have Portland. We go to Alaska, Barrow, Alaska. Talk to people living at the top of the United States of America.
I've seen promos of you wearing a big puffy coat, and I laugh every time. No one looks more uncomfortable or out of his element than you in a giant parka.
No, and the funny thing about that, the crew really liked me. They're like, we need more B-roll footage. Just keep walking the streets. Oh, it's really painful. Good. It's getting good now. Yeah, keep walking the streets.
So, just messing with you.
Yeah, no, it was all about, the whole show is about getting outside of my element, and the whole idea was like, we should all get outside of our element and sort of take in things we're not used to and sort of have some awkward conversations.
It's on CNN.
Tell
me the difference in audience, because it seems like that's a completely different audience than you normally reach.
Well, yeah. CNN is everywhere. I travel out to every airport, except in some places in the South where they play Fox. But it's everywhere. And so, therefore, I talked to a woman last night who was so excited to meet me, this old white lady. Oh, my God, you're on CNN. Da, da, da. And we talked for like 5 minutes. She's like, I haven't seen your show yet. But I was like, then why are we talking? But it's just because of the commercials and because if you're in Atlanta, there's billboards and stuff. So it's everywhere. So it's like, it's good. It puts me in front of a lot of people who would have never, ever seen me before. But then also,
that's why I'm asking, like, is the response what you thought it would be?
It's been better than what I thought
it
would be. Yeah, because I feel I have low self-esteem. So, but no, it has been overwhelmingly positive. The show is sort of in and of itself going to be a little bit controversial because we're talking about really intense things. So when people have legitimate criticism, they're like, yep, you're right. I hear you. So I'm not avoiding that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think people recognize that it's the kind of TV that, even though it's been done, like Bourdain is the gold standard of this kind of thing, but I'm doing it. I'm sort of subtracting food and putting in racism. So it's like, nobody has seen this version of it before, and I think it's the kind of thing I feel like I was kind of born to do. Like, I feel very comfortable doing it. So,
well,
and I was worried people would think it's not funny enough because it's a lot. It's a roller coaster ride. But
yeah, it is a really good show.
Yeah, yeah. You really do a good job of making each episode funny.
Yeah, legitimately.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, we got to take a break. Kamau is here. More in a moment. Right after this on K-Rock. Comedian W. Kamau Bell in studio with us, back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. We've been talking about his CNN series called United Shades of America, but there's a lot of Kamau on your TV right now because he's also got a special on Showtime that just premiered. It's called Semi-Prominent Negro. Here's a clip.
And then there's all those issues that are distractions, where they try to get black people upset about stuff that doesn't even make any sense. Like, remember when that movie Straight Outta Compton came out? And there were news stories like, people are afraid there's going to be riots at the opening of Straight Outta Compton. We are afraid there might be riots. And I was like, what are you talking about? People are concerned there might be riots. And I would turn around, I'm with people right now. Is any of us concerned? No. What people are you talking to? And then the movie opened, there wasn't one riot. And they never came out and said oops or anything. They were like, just went to the next thing. And I was like, nobody was worried about, no black person was going to riot and Straight Outta Compton as long as we've waited for that movie? Are you kidding me? That's our Star Wars. What are you talking about?
Very funny. Again, on Showtime, Semi-Prominent Negro is the name of the special. You filmed that one in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, Brooklyn, December of last year. That's a good joke, everybody.
I hope you're not mad at me for spoiling it.
No. I think I did that joke 4 times because the movie came out and it was over, so I was happy to get the special. I like that joke.
Did you live in New York for a long time and then move to Berkeley?
No, I lived in New York for like the 2-year period that I was there. For like the year and a half period, I was there for Totally Biased, and then we stayed for like another 6 months, and then my wife got pregnant, and once I found out out who did that. I'm really. and we went back to Berkeley to find out who impregnated you. No, but she got pregnant with our second daughter, and we were like, we don't want to have a baby in New York. So I've lived in the Bay Area since '97.
Did you like it,
New York? I feel like I like New York, but I feel like New York is really only for three groups of people. People who are born and raised there who don't know a difference. People who are 22 and living on a dream, or people who are rich. And since I don't fall into any of those categories, it was like you're just – it's like you can be making $300,000 a year in New York and be like, I'm struggling. living in like a one-room studio apartment with your family. Like, you know, it's just like I just – we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it.
Yeah. You hear that a lot from people. It's just it's a tough place to make a living.
I feel it's like great. It's a great place to visit, I don't want to live there.
No, it's a great place to visit. I'm happy that we did live there because now I get this – I feel like it's a thing you get to say. I lived in New York for a little while. My daughter, sort of her first coming in – she was two when we were there, so she sort of thinks of New York as being her hometown, which I think is kind of cool, which means we have to eat a lot of that flat pizza. But so I'm glad we did it, but I wouldn't go back.
Is Berkeley still weird? My wife went to college there, and we used to visit there quite a bit, and it always struck me as one of the strangest places in America. Is it still like that?
It is still one of the strangest places in America, but unfortunately, America's working hard to make itself less weird. So, but it is still – I do like the fact that in Berkeley – like, I was talking about this the other day. It's like, once a month, you're going to have a conversation with a person who's absolutely crazy. And it's just your turn.
That's great.
It's just your turn. Like, you can't get mad about it. You can't get upset. It's just, it's my turn. And not like a mentally ill person. I mean a crazy person. And I really appreciate that because it just makes you know the world, when you leave your house, it's not yours. Like, the world belongs to everybody.
I'm drawn to crazy people. I should move there.
Yeah, no, you have a good time.
But you might be the crazy person, too, though, Kevin.
Like, man, I'm talking to Kevin again.
Come out, walk away, go, that guy's crazy.
Yeah, this guy's what ever since he moved in town, it's been once every 2 weeks.
What is Warriors fever like in the Bay Area now over the last couple of years, Kamau?
The thing about the Bay Area is that nobody ever expected the Warriors to be good. I know you guys in L.A. have the Clippers, and people actually expect the Clippers to be good. That's not going to work out. But the thing about the Warriors fans is we're all so grateful for the fact that they're good. And it's just the way that it happened. Like, Steph was not like a number one draft pick. He wasn't like a big recruit. Nobody saw it coming, which is how we feel in the Bay Area. Nobody ever sees us coming. It sort of plays in the narrative. We don't get enough respect. LA's always talking they're better than us. So.
He's a little dude. He doesn't even look imposing.
He could walk
in
here right now and be like, hey, man, could you get me a coffee and shut up? oh, greatest three-point shooter of all time.
Is it all anyone's talking about, like who are the Oakland A's, who are the Raiders? You know, is it to that point yet?
I mean, you know, the thing is, there's still a lot of pride in it's the Warriors town, which sucks because the Warriors, they're in Oakland, they play in the Oracle Arena, and now that they're good, San Francisco's like, hey guys. Why don't you come move over here? So they're actually going to move across the bay, which is like the worst.
Why are they doing that?
But hashtag money.
Oh, hashtag money.
Hashtag
okay.
Capitalism. Hashtag high-end real estate. And hashtag a new arena in San Francisco for you, for all those hashtag holes.
So there are going to be people who grew up as Warriors fans their whole lives.
Yep,
and soon, with season tickets. And they won't be able to afford to go anymore.
Because when you go to the Warriors games, you still can see that these people have had – like I went recently. And it was like, I was sort of worried it'd be all like rich people and new people, but there's people who had season tickets their whole lives. And I'm like, oh my God, you're totally not going to go across the bay.
Such a bummer.
It is such a bummer. Because you get people who go to the Warriors games who are coming from way further out of the Bay Area, like Vallejo and places, who are not going to drive for an hour and a half to get to San Francisco. And so, yeah, it's going to totally change the complexion of the audience.
Nervous at all after last night's loss to OKC?
No, they went in cocky. I could see it. They were doing a little bit too much dancing and chest thumping and moonwalking. And I was like, come on, fellas.
haven't won it yet this year.
Yeah, they're excited. I appreciate that. Yeah. But they got a little cocky. And what you want for the Warriors is an angry Draymond Green. That's what you really want. So now I think we're going to have an angry, mad, technical foul getting Draymond Green, which is better for the Warriors.
sometimes that will set you right to lose a game and realize, oh, you know what? The other team at this level is good,
exactly.
too.
They have two of the greatest players in the NBA currently. Oh, yeah. Right. We should probably all stop dancing and actually start hitting some shots.
This is the voice of W. Kamau Bell here on the Kevin Bean Show. Again, let's go back to your comedy special for a second. So you filmed it in Brooklyn. Your friend Morgan Spurlock did the directing on it. Did a great job.
Yeah.
Where are you in your comedy? How long have you been doing it now?
Oh, my God. That's like asking a woman how old she is. Like, it's just like, excuse me, sir. We just got to know each other. I'm in the game, 20 years strong now.
And
I just was not really funny for the first 15.
I was going to ask how young Kamau would feel about. Do you feel like you're at the point now you were meant to be? Like this is my wheelhouse. What I'm doing right now.
I mean, if the show gets renewed to season two, I feel like then it means that we'll be around for a minute. Like I feel like if you can get to season two, Louis C.K. said if you can get to season two, you'll be around for a while. So I sort of feel like if we get to season two. When I had Totally Biased, I was working on one thing like for 16 hours a day, and I prefer working on several things for 16 hours a day. So now I have like two podcasts. I got my Denzel Washington podcast. I got a public radio show in the Bay Area. I got United States of America. I'm getting my stand-up act is getting back together. This is how I like to be. So I think young Kamau thought that he was going to have a sitcom and be a movie star, mm-hmm. like, you know, some sort of like combination of like Robin Williams and Seinfeld. old Kamau is okay with not doing that. But I do feel like I couldn't have imagined this place. I didn't start out to be a political comedian either, so I think this is the thing. This is the other thing that is always surprising to me. But I think I'm happy to be where I am. But I couldn't.
Your podcast is just about Denzel Washington?
Yes, I'm wearing a shirt right now from the podcast that Kevin was like, "What does that?
Like,
say?
What does that mean?"
But doesn't he go Denzel years Washington. Between movies sometimes? Doesn't that make for some pretty dry months come out?
Well, no. The podcast is only like a year and a half old, so we've been able to. We're reviewing every Denzel Washington movie in alphabetical order. And we've also had guests. We had Spike Lee on. We've had nice. So it's like we're trying to get Denzel for Magnificent Seven. So if you guys got any connections, but yeah, it's just about it's a celebration because you know the thing is about like and this again we talk about diversity in Hollywood on the podcast. White actors get celebrated all like you know when you say who's the greatest actor, it's always De Niro, Brando, Pacino, some guy with an O, DiCaprio,
and, Tom Hanks-o,
Tom Cruise-o, Travolta-o. But I feel like Denzel has got a career that it can stack up against anybody. But he doesn't get that level of celebration. So me and my co-host Kevin Avery, we're just like, we want to start a podcast called Denzel Washington's the Greatest Actor of All Time about how Denzel Washington's the greatest actor of all time, period.
He's got to be in the conversation, by the way. I feel like he is celebrated. I feel like he is an A-plus star, and if a movie comes out, people go see it if Denzel's in it. No?
They do, but it's still not that same. Like, I've been in those conversations when you have those, like, who are the greatest actors? It's always sort of the same crew of people that he doesn't get into. And maybe he's getting into it now because of our podcast. But I do feel like that he can't be. He is, like, the last black actor who had to sort of take the mantle from Sidney Poitier. Like, Sidney Poitier's like, I can't do it anymore, Denzel. And now Denzel's got it, and he's like, anybody else want this? And all the black guys are like, nah, we're good. We're Instagramming and tweeting. We don't need that, man. We don't need to hold that. We don't need to hold up the race anymore, which is maybe better, but I just feel like we wanted to. When Denzel passes away, which is going to happen in 100 years because good black don't die, but there's going to be this huge, like, oh my God, he was so great. And we were just like, we just want to do that now while he's here and he can think it's weird, which apparently he does.
So you've done it for a year and a half, yeah. And he thinks it's weird? Have you heard about it for real?
My co-host met him and said and sort of asked him, had you ever heard of W. Kamau Bell, because I'm the guy who had the TV show, and he's like, no. And he's like, well, me, we have this podcast. And then Denzel said, oh, the brother who's always talking about me, which is not exactly a compliment.
That's not a positive?
It could be, or it could be like, oh, yeah, I need to get a restraining order for that dude. That's right. So he knows it exists. Spike Lee apparently has told him about it, but I'm sure he thinks it's weird, which is
well, fine. You know, Adam Scott and Scott Aukerman, I know you know those guys.
Yeah,
they,
absolutely.
They do a podcast on you, too.
Yeah, and it was sort of spun out of that idea of like, oh, yeah, just a podcast about. And me and my friend Kevin have conversations for years about how great Denzel Washington is. We're like, we're trying to figure out, because we're in entertainment, what should we do with it? Is it a movie? Like, no, it's just a podcast. It's two guys talking.
Well, they finally got you two on the show. So there is hope, you know? I mean, that was their dream always, was to finally get to interview you two, and they did. So, you know, fingers crossed, maybe Denzel comes through for you.
Well, hope, or we can interview you two about Denzel. That would be the...
All right. Well, we got to wrap it up there. Kamau has so much going on, as you just heard. Both of those podcasts available on iTunes,
I would imagine.
Okay.
Sir.
And, of course, United Shades of America airs Sunday nights at 10 on CNN. It's really good, you guys. You really, if you've been sleeping on this, please check it out. It's a lot of fun and very educational as well. And Semi-Prominent Negro is the latest comedy special, and that is currently showing on Showtime and, of course, Showtime On Demand. Great to see you again, my friend. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We're going to open up the phone lines right now for you, the Kevin and Bean listener, at 1-800-520-1067. I don't think I should give this away, Kevin, but I will anyway, that for some of the callers today, we might have an awesome prize.
Okay.
All right.
It's odd that you would say you shouldn't give it away and then give it away. That's strange.
You know how professional I am. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Means What's Good. You call on any topic, whatever's on your mind. You got questions, you got problems, you got something in the news, whatever's happening, call us. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Yeah, we got a phone number you can call. We're fancy. 1-800-520-1067. It's called What's Good.
like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
Speaking of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Kevin, why don't we start in La Cañada, please, line 4, and welcome Charlie to the show.
Hey, Charlie.
What up, party people?
What's good?
Unfortunately, I couldn't make it out to Weenie Roast this year, but I'm just as shocked as the next guy with Red Hot Chili Peppers not being able to perform.
Yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, I was wondering if there's an update on Anthony Kiedis or anything like that.
You know, I have not heard officially from the band that he is out of the hospital yet, but we were told that he is expected to make a full recovery, knock on wood, and hopefully they'll be back doing what they do soon. But, you know, Kevin was a little more involved in it Sunday night than I was because he was backstage with the guys right before they went out to make the announcement. But it all came up pretty suddenly. It's not, you know, there were some reports that Anthony got sick hours before they were due to be on the air. That's not true at all. It was within an hour or so of them supposed to be taking the stage.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, Flea felt so bad. He was saying, you know, in 30-plus years, we've canceled a handful of times. We play sick. That's how it works, but he just couldn't. So we haven't heard that he's okay, but what we heard that day was that he will be okay if he goes to the hospital, you know, right away. So
we're expecting good things. We'll keep you posted on that. Thank you very much for the call, Charlie. We appreciate that. Let's try Danny Riverside. He's got line 3, please. He's got one more weenie follow-up question.
Hello? Hey, Danny.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Hi, what's good?
What's not good is, you know, just how people like to sell fake tickets for the weenie roast. I went out trying to get out there and buy tickets off a third party. Another thing, just warning people probably should not do.
Yeah.
And got all the way up to the gate, totally didn't even think about this happening, and found out they were fake.
Oh, that's such a long way to go and to park and everything else.
And to pay for them. And you know what's... I understand why it happens, Danny, because there are lots of people legitimately who have tickets to a show and can't make it, and they sell them on Craigslist, and they're real. How do you tell the difference? You can't tell the difference when somebody's Craigslist asks whether they're legit or not. I'm really, really sorry that happened to you, Danny.
It's
but
so
I
hard. I just want to say, like, people should be aware, and if you can take a picture of the person or maybe a vehicle where they're driving, and, you know.
I'd like to suggest don't go on Craigslist. I think that's a shaky
first step. But again, there are people who are really legitimately selling real tickets, too, though.
I agree, but they're also selling other places.
Yeah.
Definitely a roll of the dice for
sure. Yeah. Sorry about that, Danny.
Danny, you hang on, please. Don't go away. You know, I'm glad we took his call, though, because I think it is worth putting that idea in people's heads as they're desperate to buy tickets sometimes, as sometimes it's easy to look past the danger. All right, let's go to line 7, please. Westminster, this is going to be John. He's up next on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
What's good?
Well, I watched the Ted Cruz lookalike porno.
You watched.
All right. Now, this was a lady who was on, what, the Maury Povich show when it was discovered by the viewers how much she looked like Ted Cruz?
Yeah, I didn't watch that. I actually got it thanks to Ralph reporting in the Showbiz Beat.
Okay.
But, so I consider myself kind of a connoisseur when it comes to
right. All right.
Celebrity sex tapes. Okay.
So rate this one, 0 to 10. Rate this one.
-4.
Okay. All right.
-4, even though you do have naked people having sex, it's still -4.
If it's even naked people, though, because here's the thing. First of all, quality is terrible. Video quality is terrible. All right. Second of all, it's just gross. It's just gross.
But didn't you know that going in? I mean, honestly, what did you expect?
I don't know what you expect.
She looks like Ted Cruz. How hot did you expect it to be?
That was kind of my bad because I didn't actually look.
Yes, that's your bad. That's what we're saying.
I went straight to the video, And, yeah, not good. I don't recommend it.
Okay.
All right. Good tip.
All right. Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we have some other calls, but we're going to have to leave it there. Listen to this, you guys. Kevin, we got to pick two of the calls that we just spoke with to give away a pair of tickets to see Louis C.K. at the Forum. These shows were just announced July 10th. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster.com. Louis C.K., you've seen him, Kevin, and you know how great
yes.
he is.
I saw him at the Forum. Yeah, he's fantastic.
I'd like to suggest that our friend Danny in Riverside, who got duped on the Craigslist deal, how about giving him some tickets?
I guess, but Craigslist, right?
Danny, congratulations. You're going to see Louis C.K.
All right. Congratulations, Danny.
Thank you.
All right. And how about John, who had to endure looking at a naked female Ted Cruz? How about
again, that's what? Hey, John.
Hey.
You get tickets. You got tickets
oh,
to see Louis C.K.
Awesome.
For making a terrible choice.
That made everything so much better. I love you guys.
I'm glad. Thank you, and thanks for calling. What's good?
And now, a moment with Bean.
Yeah, okay, we'll look forward to that. Okay. Thanks, man.
That was a moment with Bean.
Thanks, sick man.
Thanks, sick man. Thanks, man.
Hey, it's National Self-Pleasure Month, you guys.
Oh, don't tell me. Look at me right now.
Nope. Our friend, please stop. Mm-hmm. Don't make that motion.
Come on. Stop.
Put it down, Ralph. Put it down. Dr. Sadie Allison will be here to help celebrate it with us coming up in the next hour on the Kevin Beach Show. First, Ralph, it's time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Speaking of pleasure, how about Courtney Stodden, right? Courtney Stodden, right?
She's got to be 20 now? 21? How old is she?
She's 21. Bean, you're absolutely right. 21 years old. You may remember her as the child bride of actor Doug Hutchinson. Remember the big deal? She was 16. He was 50.
Yeah.
And mom signed off because he was her acting teacher. And just everything distasteful and gross.
That was an ugly story.
It was in one relationship. Well, you'll be happy to know they're still going strong after splitting up and getting back together again. And, of course, appearing on a reality television show called Couples Therapy. But they're back together again. And expecting their first child.
Yeah!
All right. That's who we want raising kids. We want Courtney Stodden to be a mother.
Yay!
It's a bittersweet time for me right now, she said to Us Weekly magazine. I'm dealing with a lot of stress and emotions surrounding life and its ups and downs. Doug and I weren't planning on going public with this so soon, but I'm a desperate attention whore, and I need...
Wait.
I need your eyes on me like a fish needs water.
Please don't ever stop
talking about me or looking at me, or else I might disappear.
Are you reading?
I am only alive as long as I am in the press. So please, for God's sakes, pay attention to me, or I'll open a vein.
Did she say all that?
Not even a little bit, okay. But I'm reading the subtext.
I see.
I'm only 4 weeks along in my pregnancy.
Oh, then why is she even talking about it?
I guess you missed my earlier part of my statement.
Oh, that's right, about the need to be in the public eye.
Exactly, yeah.
So she's the white Tila Tequila.
Yes, only with less Nazism.
Right.
Have you been reading Tila Tequila lately?
No.
Oh, you're missing out.
But I have heard that she's just going crazy.
She's magical. She said that she is the second coming of Jesus Christ, so...
Well, I mean, we all thought
she's
that.
Got that going for her. That's a plus, I would think.
She's a butt biter.
No, I don't know if she's a butt biter or not, but yet she can't get a job. You would think that would look great on a resume. If I walked into an office and I slapped my resume down there, and I don't know, Arial maybe, or Cambria, I don't know what font I'm using, but if it says in there that I'm the second coming of Jesus Christ, I would think the offers would start rolling
That's
in.
That's all you would need to
Absolutely.
Put.
Absolutely.
That's what I think. What accounting firm or insurance company wouldn't love to have Jesus on their payroll?
Right?
That's what I'm saying. She's a farter and a racist.
Well, that is true.
True, too. That's for sure. New Oasis documentary in the works.
Yes, please.
It'll be done by the same team that did the Amy Winehouse film, which won an Oscar. Amy, of course, was a brilliant documentary. They had complete and total access to the band's archives and both the cooperation of Liam and Noel Gallagher.
Really?
When's the last time Noel and Liam ever agreed to cooperate on anything? The film would be released in October. The very first Oasis documentary, I don't know if you ever saw it, called Lord, Don't Slow Me Down, was released back in 2007. So this will obviously be a more complete, updated look at the band and their history. But I think that should be some fascinating film right
there.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Because those...
those two guys fought their whole lives.
That whole band has just got everything in it. It's like a classic Shakespearean play. Family intrigue and backbiting and fighting and wild success and low of lows.
And they certainly swipe at each other all the time in the press. And I often wonder, is there ever a time at Christmas or whatever when they are have to be in the same room at the same time? I mean, I wonder if they just avoid each other at this point.
And what do they get each other for Christmas? What do they put in each other's stockings?
Yeah.
And I wonder what kind of meal they eat at Christmas time. Are they a ham or a turkey family?
I'm just wondering if they call their parents and go, hey, what time is my brother going to be there? Noon to two? Okay, I'll be there 3 to 5. I mean, I wonder if it's as ridiculous as that.
Shift work. The shift work family. I gotcha. I don't know. Speaking of movies, this movie's coming out. I'm very excited about it. It is the sequel to the wildly popular Disney's Alice in Wonderland. It's called Alice Through the Looking Glass. We've got a special advanced screening coming up at the IMAX headquarters on May 25th. You'll get to see Alice Through the Looking Glass in IMAX 3D on the big screen right there at IMAX headquarters. Can't ask for a better viewing experience than that. The movie's in theaters everywhere on the 27th, but you'll see it before anybody else. If you want to give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through with that phone number, we'll get a pair of passes to see Alice Through the Looking Glass. Today's celebrity birthday is Bill Paxton, 61 years old today. Our buddy Bob Saget turns 60. Sugar Ray. Leonard.
What?
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Leonard.
Is 60 years old Boxer. Today. Craig Ferguson's 54. Trent Reznor's 51. Josh Homme.
This is Jed the Fish with Trent Reznor. Hey. What if your name was Asshore?
If it was Asshore.
Yeah.
What if your name, say, was Vagina Patterson?
Jed liked that one. I haven't heard Jed laugh so hard since Bean fell off a stage. Usually it takes that to get Jed to really
he
bust
did enjoy
a gut.
That.
Oh, did he ever. Boy. He fell off the stage. That's what I remember Jed saying.
He had the mic, too. It wasn't just...
Who fell off the stage?
We couldn't have enjoyed it more. Meanwhile, Beans. Right? How you feeling these days with that whole thing, Bean? How's the back? How's the sphincter? How's your coccyx? How's all that stuff?
Hey, steady. Save that kind of talk for Dr. Alice when she gets here.
How are your parts?
I don't. I'm. You know.
Are you still having issues?
It's, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, you don't, yeah. But I don't like to talk about it.
Because that will make it go away if you don't talk about it?
Shirley Manson did it right on Saturday.
She did. Oh, she's way cooler than
I am. She fell off the stage and kept singing.
Didn't miss a beat.
Dave Grohl kept playing the crowd, laying on his back.
Yep.
Same
thing.
Still rocking.
Yep. The Edge.
Right.
Right back up on the stage.
Right. Yep.
Then Bean.
Out for the count.
I thought you were the healthiest man in the world.
I am. That's why I persevere. That's why I'm able to play through the pain.
Do you have pain if you're the healthiest man in the world?
I'm Ralph Garman.
I you don't get to say that.
Ever.
For any reason. Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age is 43. And actress Nikki Reed celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the showbiz beat.
Less than 1 hour away from your tickets in the fourth row to see a great triple bill with Blink 182, also a day to remember and all-time low. We got tickets here on K-Rock all week long from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. That means 9 o'clock is coming up, so keep on listening. It is always a lot of fun when Dr. Sadie Allison stops by the Kevin and Bean Show. She has a doctorate in human sexuality. She is a best-selling author, founder of Tickle Kitty, and she is America's pleasure coach. Welcome back, Dr. Sadie. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
What did you send to Allie McKay, our co-host in the mail, that flattened her to the point where she couldn't even come into work today?
I heard about that.
She was here yesterday, and she was fine.
Seemed like she felt fine, and she got your package, and now she's not here.
And she's feeling much better,
yes.
I must tell you. I sent her this revolutionary sex toy. It's called the Womanizer. and there's nothing out there like it. I've been, you guys know, I've been in the toy business for 15 years.
You've been doing your research.
Yeah. And so this is revolutionary. It's a new technology. It's got air suction technology in this tip. So I'm going to hand this over to you.
All right.
And now, is this named after the popular Britney Spears song?
It's actually based in Germany, hence the womanizer, but it's the kind of womanizer that you want around.
Whoa.
So how's that working for you, Kevin?
Well, I'm not using it as much as I was just putting it up to the mic.
Well, where that goes, you see that tip? It almost looks like an otoscope, right?
Yes.
It's got that circular tip. That goes against the woman's body, right, where her pleasure spot is. So that's why there's that opening.
Okay.
So it does, her pleasure spot doesn't even get touched. There's a light air suction technology inside.
Air suction.
And it's like fellatio for women.
Is air suction new to the sex toy game, Doctor?
It really is. This is the first product that I've ever seen that does that. And here's the catcher. 52% of the women in the test group that try this achieve the big O in less than 60 seconds.
60 seconds?
Yeah.
For busy women on the go.
That's right.
That's the way to go.
And especially for women who...
Being the big O is a orgasm.
For women. Wait, I was told, and maybe it's just my own personal experience, that women can't orgasm.
Right.
Is that not correct?
That is not correct.
Oh.
We are doing it all day long these days. And thank God for the revolution because, you know, in the past it was about men's pleasure and procreation and your duty. Gosh, I can't even imagine living in an era where that's what it was all about.
Yeah.
But now there's all these pleasure toys. It's self-pleasure month. And this womanizer, for women who have troubles getting there, because a lot of women are still learning their bodies, they're opening up, they're just now kind of getting comfortable with the concept of pleasure still, the womanizer gets you there.
Do you think that Allie will be back tomorrow, or is it is this for the rest of the month, if you had to guess? Because that affects us.
You know, orgasms are very healthy.
Right.
It promotes better sleep. That time of the month when you have cramps.
You're the not best... answering my question.
I know. She's staying in bed all month.
Okay.
She's...
I guess it depends on how willing she is to push herself away from the table. You know? I guess you wouldn't be surprised by this, Doctor, but I am. There are people out there every day who are still, in 2016, looking for new ways to create pleasure toys, right?
That's right.
I mean, that never stops. It's innovation in your industry, just like they're trying to build better cars and better airplanes.
And the thing about that is that everything's high tech now. When you talk about the innovation, traditionally there was nude color toys you'd see in adult video. But now there's pink, there's blue, there's app-controlled toys where you can play with your lover from anywhere in the world and he can control the vibration of your device through his app while you're at home in the bedroom.
Wow. You mentioned
I'm
it's
not
national...
the guy to have that because I would do it for comedy.
Oh, you're in a meeting? Okay. Oh, you're in church?
Well, you know, there's a product called right. There's a product called the Club Vibe, and that would be fun for you, Kev, because it's a vibrating panty that's wireless and remote controlled. So you can go to church.
Okay.
Have your lady wear that and be buzzing her the whole time and have your own little
private
giggles.
Could I go to
giggles.
Church and wear that myself?
You mentioned that it is National Self-Pleasure Month. For many people, they grow up being told that it is a big no-no to pleasure yourself. With the current generation, are we mostly past that, or is that still how kids are being taught?
Kids are not being taught that anymore, thankfully. However, there's still a lot of people out there that grew up with a lot of negative messaging and shame and told it was sinful. So that's why I'm spreading the knowledge and the word that and empowering women and even some men that it's okay to pleasure yourself. And for ladies, it's the number one way to learn your own sexual response.
What about a guy like Bean who would...
Well, let's maybe leave me out of it. Let's talk in more general terms.
Who would prefer self versus a relationship with a person?
Well, that can become unhealthy.
Or you do it too much, and then you're uninterested in other people.
Or desensitized.
Bean? Anything you want to tell us?
This isn't about me so much, but are there people who become addicted to self-pleasure to the point where they no longer are seeking a relationship with another person?
I can answer that. Yes,
okay.
Guys.
Let Dr. Allison answer.
He's absolutely right. There are some people, like any pleasure in life, whether it be alcohol and other things, some people take it too far. And so when it comes to self-pleasure, I advise men to give it a break. Because what happens is they often desensitize themselves because the pressure and things that they can provide themselves isn't the same as how it is when you're with a real live woman.
Mm-hmm.
Very different sensations.
Are you
again,
listening?
Not about me.
I know, but are you
asking if you're listening? For our listeners.
It's a fair comment.
She hasn't gotten to chafing yet, so I don't think she's talking about me. But that's a mental thing as much as anything with people. I mean, right? I mean,
Yeah. They're
not just doing it because it feels good. At some point, I think they, you know, maybe they're desensitized to relationships as well, not just to the physical aspect.
Yeah, and that can happen. A lot of people do it, though, because it's just so pleasurable and it provides stress relief and you sleep better. But I always encourage people to do it together with your lover because it's one of the most fun ways to have foreplay. Because we forget we have 10 of our best sex toys on our bodies, which are our fingers and our hands. And so many people neglect using
20 to
them.
Count your toes.
There you go. Don't forget your big daddy.
Do we want to... Shut up, Chip. Do we want to take calls from people? Because I feel like a lot of people would identify with, it's just not worth trying to find somebody else.
You know,
do you run into that?
It's hard in today's world. And you have Tinder and Grindr and then the dating world. And with social media and how everyone's so attached to their devices, we're losing interpersonal contact and the ability to look at someone in the eyes and talk and feel comfortable and be who you are versus how some people play a different role behind the screen.
I think you are 100% right, not just in terms of sex, but in terms of all sorts of different things that used to be part of regular human interaction. I think computer devices have killed a lot of that ability for people to even have conversation anymore. I mean, frequently I see stories about people who cannot any longer sit across from each other at lunch and just have a conversation. Like, you can't just be doing one thing anymore. If there's a 4-second delay in a conversation, somebody's eyes are on their phone.
Right.
And I feel like the human brain, the wiring of the human brain is changing in just a few years as a result of constant exposure to the internet.
That's so true. And we don't know how it's going to really be affecting this new generation that grew up natively with these devices in their hands. See, they're in another 15, 20 years, we're going to really see the effects. And I think there's a lot of negative going on, and especially when it comes to interpersonal skills and relationships and sex.
Well, I'm glad Dr. Allison is here. It's always fun when she stops by again. Best-selling author, founder of Tickle Kitty at TickleKitty.com, on Twitter at Dr. Sadie. Let us take some phone calls for Dr. Sadie.
Well, 1-800-520-1067.
I would be interested in the topic that Kevin brought up, which is that people who would rather be solo than duo when it comes to sex, and for whatever reason that is, maybe you can talk about that. But I think we could open it up for some other calls too, right? If people have some questions about things. Bear in mind, we are on the radio. We do have a woman who has her finger on the button, but we'll do the best to let your question get to the air as you ask it. 1-800-520-1067. If you have questions for Dr. Sadie, we'll take them next right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Dr. Sadie Allison back in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from TickleKitty.com. She has a doctorate in human sexuality, and I always feel dumb whenever you come in, Sadie, because you know you're such an expert in this area, and I know so little. But thank you for being here once again.
Well, thank you.
let's jump some more calls here at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Juan. He's in Anaheim. He's on line 4. This will help us with the topic that we had just started discussing before the break, which is people who prefer self-pleasure over regular sex. And Juan, it sounds like that's you.
Yep, yep. Hey, Kevin being in L.A.
Hey,
what's going on with you, Juan?
I prefer doing the stuff.
Oop, we're having trouble
at
with your phone here.
Taking a flight.
I heard at work taking a flight. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, your phone's cutting out a little bit. So why aren't you interested in being with a woman, Juan?
Well, it's not that I'm not interested, but it's more convenient to go solo, you know? Like I said, if you're at work or taking a flight or doing something, you know, you're bored. You know, it's there. It's ready for you.
Taking a flight? Are you doing it on an airplane?
Now we know what goes on in there.
what will the effects be if Juan continues down this path, Dr. Sadie? Does it not matter because, hey, he's happy, he feels good, or is there a long-term concern that you would have for him?
Actually, I don't have any concern so long as he stays open to meeting a partner and enjoying someone else in the relationship in this way. But there's actually health benefits for men also in self-pleasuring, and it keeps the tools working well, if you will, and keeps them healthy. Because there is the prostate, you need to keep that healthy and functioning. So you do want to actually have orgasms throughout the week to keep it, the organs
working. How many times would you say Juan should do it? Say on a flight from L.A. to Vegas.
It sounds like the doctor says keep doing what you're doing, Juan, but also keep your options open. Thank you for the call, sir. Let's go to Mike. He's in Redondo Beach. He's on line one. He's got a great topic for you, Doc.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi,
good,
Mike.
Thank you.
So I was in a relationship for like 4 steady years, and it was a great relationship and everything. But when I got out of it, I was kind of like, I don't know, it was a weird relationship. But I got out of it, I was happy, I was alone. And that's when I turned to like porn and stuff, and I just kept watching that like over and over and over. And I liked it. I was fine with it. It was like there's no attachment, there's no stress. But now later on, I'm trying to get into relationships, I'm having a harder time with that.
Harder time.
Is that normal?
Yeah, can be. It's like any addiction, addiction behavior. But what I would do, I know it's probably going to be a hard thing to do, but stop cold turkey for a while and allow yourself to kind of desensitize
Let's
and
not
to
be
normalize.
Crazy. Let's not give out crazy advice now.
Okay, slow it down. Are you dating someone right now?
Yeah, and she's been awesome about it because at first I was kind of having trouble, but now I'm like getting back into it and I feel like I'm kind of getting back to my normal self. But we're also in two different states, so it kind of gets annoying.
Right.
Like I kind of want to just turn to porn sometimes, but then I don't want to do that because I know I have to go see her and I want to be better for her.
I mean, I guess this makes sense, Doctor, because relationships are a lot harder to maintain than just, you know, opening up your browser or something like that. But I guess there's also some real benefits to having another person in your life, too, that you're missing out on if you just focus on yourself.
Absolutely. You want human connection. All through life is really important. But here's something that you can do is you can enjoy adult entertainment with your lover. And even though you guys live in separate cities, you can log on at the same time and watch porn together.
Have you tried that, Mike?
No, I haven't. I never really thought of that.
Yeah, that would be fun. There's some really high-quality porn, too, that women like. There's a guy named Andrew Blake. He makes really beautiful, high-quality video that you might want to explore, and she might like that.
Mike, I'm glad you called, and it sounds like you are aware of the potential pitfalls of what you're doing, and you're keeping your eyes peeled, so that's great. Thank you very much for the time. Let's try Maricela Paramount. She's line 7. She's got a question that I think a lot of listeners might be interested in hearing the answer for. Maricela, you're on with Dr. Sadie. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, Kevin and Bean.
Hi.
My question is to the doctor. My question is, my son's he's 18, and I was talking to my son about sexual things. I guess his dad never talked to him about it. My question is, I found out that he's been masturbating since he was 13 years old. So that kind of freaked me out, and I told my son not to do it as often because I'm not sure if I'm giving him the right information because I'm told later on in the future it's going to interfere when he actually finds a girl and he might not have pleasure intercourse. Like
what's the advice for talking to teenagers about their masturbation
habits?
Well,
first of all, I want to commend her for caring enough to even call in and to try and talk to him and trying to figure this out. What you want to do is you give your kids age-appropriate answers to their questions. So when they do come up with a question, don't try and beat around the bush or be too vague. You want to answer them because they'll find out from somewhere else, and there's a lot of cases where it'll be the wrong information. But what I have a little girl at home, and I found her touching herself. And kids, when they're young, and by the way, boys are actually self-pleasuring in the womb, just to let you know, that's when they start. Just to let you know, he started before 13.
I just found out, and he's 18, and I guess his dad never talked to him because his dad is different. So I try to be straightforward with him to talk to him about everything.
But you had the talk with him after he was 18?
After he was 18, I talked to him because I didn't know about the situation because he was growing older, and he just came, you know. He just told me, Mom, I've been doing this since I was 13. And I told him, I said, to be honest with you, I told him, stop playing with it because it's going to fall off.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's not the case.
That is not the case.
That is not the case. It's actually a healthy sexual activity for everybody. Okay.
She should not discourage her son from doing it.
No, not at all.
But how about her fear that it will interfere with his ability to have relationships with women?
I think if you spend more time talking about relationships, how to treat women, the kind of man you want him to be, the kind of husband you want him to be, that's, I think, where you should be focusing because the sexual stuff will work itself out. And the fact that he's self-pleasuring, you're never going to be able to stop, and nor do you want to.
Mm-hmm.
What if it falls off?
It's healthy for him to keep doing it?
Yes, it is healthy for him to keep doing it. But like the doctor said, you need to talk to him about the bigger picture of being available to be the right kind of man for his lady, too. By the way, what's worse, being Maricela and having to have that conversation with your teenage son, or being her son and having to have that conversation with his mother?
Being the son.
Yeah, he's like, Mom, I've been doing this since I was 13.
One more call. K-Rock, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm one of those people who prefer to be solo.
Why does it sound like me calling? Come on, what's going on?
I don't know why it sounds like you.
My
name is B. Dave. I live on an island, so I'm alone a lot.
Oh, really? Huh?
And yeah, my question is, I'm torn between Zac Efron and Taylor Swift.
Well, I can understand. They're both very beautiful.
When I enjoy myself, I have a hard time picking between both of them. You know how many sites that have both pictures of them together?
All right. I'm so lonely.
Visuals are important.
Yes, they are, especially to me. And it won't fall off, though, right?
Thank you, caller. I appreciate it. Dr. Allison, before you go, the Womanizer special is up and running at TickleKitty.com. What's that all about, my dear?
Because it's Self-Pleasure Month, I want everybody to have the best pleasure possible. With the Womanizer, I'm giving away a whole set for free of my 6 best-selling books, Tickle His Pickle, Ride Him Cowgirl, etc., and free shipping. It's really something like I really want women to have this toy, and it really does work. And I brought a couple others I wanted to show you real quick.
Unfortunately, we don't have time right now. That one scares me.
Oh, the Tanga flip hole. Let me just show you the inside. Look at this.
This is for guys.
This is a Japanese crafted toy. Take that. Come on. It's got ridges and nubs.
Has this been used before?
No, it hasn't.
I just need to check because...
But that's the number one men's pleasure toy. So we have the Womanizer for the women, but the Tanga flip hole is elastomer silicone. You can squeeze from the outside. So
I feel like I only need
points.
About a quarter of this. We are learning so many new terms today, Doctor. The Tanga flip hole and the Womanizer are my takeaways from this interview.
The
Womanizer special is going on right now at TickleKitty.com. You can get all the information about the books and about the toys and about everything. Follow the Doctor on Twitter at Dr. Sadie. Always a pleasure to have you, and thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much. Happy Self-Pleasure Month.
You know, it's going to be Memorial Day weekend in just a couple of weeks, Kevin.
Yep.
And that means the summer travel season is upon us. And when you start talking about the summer travel season, you talk about if it's possible, planes will be even more filled up with people than they are right now. I don't remember the last time I was on a flight that every single seat wasn't filled.
Yeah.
But you go to the airport these days, man, and it seems like you are there for hours before you get on a flight. In fact, the TSA for a long time now, you know, since they put all the post 9/11 rules into effect, has said 2 hours for domestic, 3 hours for international. Increasingly, that's not even enough anymore for people. People are in security lines for hours now. Thousands, literally thousands of people per major airport are missing their flights every month because they can't get through the security lines. It's a crisis.
I have a question. Why can't the TSA hire more people? I can't tell you the number of times I've been in an airport where one lane is open and there's 8 next to it that are closed.
I think that it is a stressful job that does not pay very well, that is very difficult to keep people at that job. And I think that there's a lot of turnover, and I think training takes a long time. One report that I heard on the news over the weekend was that they currently have 750 new TSA agents in training right now, but it takes several weeks to get them ready to send them out to airports. So they're hoping to make some improvements before the summer season. But why speculate when we've got an expert on the phone, an actual spokesperson from the TSA, Mr. Alan McGee, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Mr. McGee, we know you're very busy. Thanks so much for jumping on, sir.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This has just been a public relations nightmare for your organization these past few weeks, hearing about all these terrible lines at airports all over the country.
It has been, and we want here at the TSA, we want everyone to know that we recognize how frustrating it can be to try to catch a flight and be held up in security. And they need to know that we're aware of the problem, but we still have major concerns with safety as Americans fly through the air, and our job is to try to balance expediency and getting people through those lines as quickly as possible while at the same time not compromising security and making sure everyone is as safe as possible.
Have there been new security restrictions that we're not aware of that is making it harder for you and taking longer per passenger to get through that line?
No, it's the same process. I mean, there have been some advents that have changed slightly the amount of time it takes to go through. I mean, walking through a metal detector is a little bit quicker than standing inside one of our scanners where you have to raise your arms over the head and be scanned. There's a little time added to that. But other than that, the process is basically the same. It's just, as you mentioned, providing more TSA employees and also trying to deal with the uptick in travel. People are traveling more than ever.
So it's still belts and shoes and take your keys out and your cell phone and your laptops and your toiletries. It's still, we're doing all of that, and it just takes longer for people to get through.
Yes, but our plan now is to add additional lines more specific to each passenger's needs and type of travel, and this way try to expedite things by moving some of those people into a separate line where they can go through even quicker because we have compartmentalized that particular type of passenger.
Well, that sounds like a good idea, then.
The belts and shoes thing certainly has been successful in keeping us safe, so we're taking you one step further. We're trying things out here at O'Hare in Chicago to create a nude security line. Nude security line where you would go through completely nude. This way we know that you're not carrying any contraband or anything that could be potentially hazardous.
What if I'm keistering something?
That's an excellent point. We do have a way to deal with that.
Yeah.
In fact, if you have any items that are smaller than 3 ounces, you can actually put them in one of your Orify get through the line quicker that way. Huh. This gentleman right here has it, sir. Yep, thank you. Thanks for putting that there, sir. We appreciate that. Putting that hair gel right there so you can carry it safely.
So you're advising people to do that?
Oh, yeah. Just stuff things all in your butt.
Okay. All right. That surprised me. I'll have to give that some more thought. All right. What other lines are you setting up then?
Well, if you're unconscious in the air, you really can't do any damage. We found that to be the case. So we have a new propofol flight we're trying out.
What?
Oh.
Propofol, where you will be administered approximately 20 cc's of propofol in the security line, then we will cart your unconscious body onto the plane, load you pretty much as luggage, and then wake you up once you get to your destination.
Sir, propofol,
go ahead. Go ahead. There we go. Just put him on the conveyor belt. We'll just get him.
Well, I mean, like you said, no trouble with those passengers in the air. You can count on that.
You can't do anything if you're unconscious. That's science. That's science.
Makes a lot of sense.
Also, we have another flight where everyone, upon entering the flight, will be given a chainsaw.
That's
a terrible idea.
That sounds dangerous. Well,
not dangerous as long as everyone has one. if you've never felt safer, quite frankly, in the air than having a nice sturdy chainsaw in your lap, you make sure you'll be taken care of.
I feel like that's not for me, maybe.
How about the farter flight?
I'm sorry?
Oh, no. What? How does that help with security?
Well, that flight will be less crowded, we think.
Okay.
To get people through. I mean, it's just a handful of people who enjoy not only farting, but the farts of other people. So that will
be... Yeah.
That's a small group right there.
Also, to reduce traffic in the air, we will be offering special banjo flights.
Yeah, a lot of empty seats on that one.
Nothing but banjo music for the entire flight. Internationally, too. So
that's torturous.
About 10 hours in the air, just all banjo. So far, only Steve Martin has been playing on that plane, but we're hoping more people will eventually sign up. And speaking of entertainment, we have another flight that we're hoping will reduce air travel. It is a flight where it features the stylings of a comedian on the air flight.
Oh.
Why the preacher said to the bellhop, more popular than you are. And the bellhop says, no, I'm more popular than you are. I ring the bell, everybody's coming here. But you are saying blah, 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 blah.
That's the worst flight ever.
We have a lot of seats open on that one.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Minutes away from your tickets in the fourth row to see our friends in Blink 182, September 29th in Irvine, or October 1st at the Forum. We will tell you when to call in to win. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Just saying, get a lot of love for ABC You Later.
Is that right?
Yes.
My
one. Oh, your one-man show?
My one-man ABC jukebox musical that I will be mounting soon. And a lot of people saying, oh, I forgot how much I loved ABC.
Mm-hmm. And then you think you can translate that into an actual show?
If everyone who wrote me this morning comes to see the show, we will have an entire row of a theater filled.
All right.
For my opening night performance.
I had forgotten about When Smokey Sings, but
Smokey Sings.
That's a great song.
If I were to say to you, can you keep a secret? Would you know just what to do or where to keep it? Who broke my heart? You did. Straight through the target, ran Cupid.
Stop it.
You think you're smart, Stew. Cupid. Shoot that poison arrow through my heart. Be Ralph. Near me. Be near.
Ralph was talking earlier about how ABC is back, right? They're going on a reunion tour. And you have still all... These years later, you still have all this affection for this group.
Oh, I love ABC.
Everybody's got a band like that. Was Haircut 100 that I mentioned. I still listen to the Haircut 100 album. I love them. Everybody's got a band that just, for whatever reason, they weren't a huge band, but they hit you at the right time.
Oh, I love it. The look of love.
Mine was Eve 6.
I think you're missing the point. Anyway, we found out this morning that they are back together again and they're touring, but only touring in the UK this fall.
Oh, what are we going to do?
There are no dates planned for the US as of right now.
That's outrageous.
So now I need to move to England. So I hope you're all happy. I hope ABC's happy that they've ruined my life, but at the same time given my life purpose. So it's okay. A wash, I guess.
I'll leave it out in the end.
In the long run.
Hey, didn't you go all the way to England to see Monty Python?
I did at the O2. Mm-hmm. Because that was a one-off, but I would feel really dumb if I moved to England and ABC announced like the Hollywood Bowl date or something. That would That would be charbroiled. I'd be burnt at that point.
We should do a call-in topic one day. Maybe not. Maybe this is a dumb idea. But the furthest
try it out on air, though.
I like it. That he starts off with this could be a dumb idea.
The furthest you ever traveled to see a thing.
You ever traveled to see a thing?
Right.
You travel? Don't you always see a thing when you travel anywhere?
No, but I mean, like, you went
just that
you,
the destination trip?
Yeah, you went all the way to London to see Monty Python, for
right,
instance.
Right, exactly.
You know, yes. I bet other people have crazy, like, this was my chance to see fill in the blank and fill in the blank, so I did it. Maybe it's not completely thought out.
I went to see U2 in Dublin, Ireland over a weekend.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Left on Friday.
Oh, dude.
Saw the show
that's
Saturday
a haul.
Night. Came back Sunday.
That's madness.
It was madness. I was in the air more than I was on the ground. It was absurd.
And this is a band you could see here at home.
But they were in Dublin.
I understand that. I heard the first part of the story.
Plus, the station paid for my trip.
Oh, see how you
great.
Are.
But, you which was great. But having said that, that's a long way to go for one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know if someone paid me to go, let alone picked up the trip. You'd have to go an extra mile. You'd have to pay me actual money. I'd have to make money on the deal, I think,
really?
To make that trip. Yeah.
But it's a band you love.
But it's across the world in 72 hours.
It was a long trip.
I hear you. I'm saying that.
It wasn't close, Kevin?
I would have done it again, I think.
So Dublin is not close
to
Tarzana?
It's quite a flight.
It's not right up the 101? Who broke my heart? You did. Chip, I think we need
stop it.
We need to abandon the Badfinger cover band and start working on an ABC cover band.
What are we going to call it?
We're going to call it...
DEF.
XYZ.
I like it.
It's a shame, too, because that Badfinger thing was really taking off.
We were so busy with that show.
I'm sure Noodles will come with us.
Noodles would come with us. God bless him. Chip sent out a very funny tweet when Chili Peppers had to cancel because of Anthony's illness. And Chip tweeted out to Noodles, well, it looks like worst thumbs on. Get the band together. We're going to have to go on. But Weezer took care of that, so. Look at me. I'm out of time already. Can you believe that?
Yeah, you wasted it all on ABC. That wasn't a waste.
Holy crap. I've
just been babbling. So I apologize. I promise the next one will be better.
Stop it.
Yeah, I should have stopped it. Real quickly, new releases today on DVD, if that's still a thing in your life. Dirty Grandpa with Robert De Niro and Zac Efron. That's a film. The Witch. That looks scary, The Witch.
I didn't see that one.
It was that old-timey one about the... It looked like a... Old timey.
I don't think I did.
You saw the trailer.
Oh, okay. I'm having trouble keeping them all straight because there was The Forest recently, and now there's The Darkness, but this is The Witch.
I believe in a thing called love.
Right.
The Witch was the one looked like it took place in the Salem witch trial days about the baby that was stolen and stuff. You know, nothing?
All right.
Ringing a bell? And The Program with Ben Foster and Chris O'Dowd. How do these movies... Why are they on DVD? No one saw them in theaters. No one wants to see them on DVD. Stop it. Today's celebrity birthday is Bill Paxton, 61. Actor, comedian, friend of the show. Bob Saget turns 60 today. Happy birthday, Bob.
Hey, Bob. Happy
Stop
birthday.
Stop it.
Craig Ferguson's 54. Trent Reznor's 51 years old. Josh Homme of Queens is 43. Nikki Reed's 28. And Sugar Ray Leonard. is 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. And now, a moment with Bean.
Yeah, okay, we'll look forward to that. Thanks, man.
That was a moment with Bean.
Thanks, sure was. Sigman.
Man.
Sigman.
Lip. Hey, 938, about 20 minutes away or so for winning your tickets in the fourth row to see Blink 182. They're going to be at Irvine Meadows on the 29th of September, October 1st on the 4th. Man, they're so good live, aren't they?
Sure. They crushed it at Weenie Roast.
So great. So anyway, win your tickets all day long up until 6 o'clock here on KROQ. Ralph is here now with our final look at the show Biz Beat.
They were the surprise guest at Weenie, so it was kind of cool to watch the crowd. Because by that time they were coming on, we all knew what was happening. But the audience was largely unawares.
Yeah, that's great.
So to look, I said to my wife, I said, just watch everybody's face when the stage turns. This is going to be awesome. And watch, their eyes got wide, and it just was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool.
Very fun. Fox Network has announced its fall schedule. Three new shows. Very exciting. Brand new shows that have nothing to do with anything you've ever seen before. These will be fresh viewing experiences for you, the entertainment consumer. And I'm looking forward to getting your reaction to these films.
So we've seen nothing like it.
Nothing like it before.
Okay.
This is brand new television that will shock and delight you, I think.
Okay.
Coming from the Fox Network. A show called Lethal Weapon will be airing. Lethal Weapon is the story of one slightly unhinged white police officer teamed up with a veteran African-American police officer in the LAPD, and how these two mismatched cops have to try to make their relationship work while they stomp out crime in Los Angeles. That is exciting, and I'm fresh, and I like it.
That was a movie with Mel Gibson?
That's not possible, Kevin. Oh. This is Lethal Weapon. You must be confusing
Lethal
it with
Weapon,
something
the
else.
Movie.
Lethal Weapon is a fresh new take on a brand new idea, and I think it's going to be great. That'll air before Empire. Then, on Friday nights, instead of Sleepy Hollow, which has been pushed back to mid-season, Fox will be airing something called The Exorcist. It'll be the story of a young girl who's possessed by a demon, perhaps Satan himself, and this priest has to deal with this young girl's possession and try to get the devil out of her in a new show called The Exorcist.
That's also a movie.
Remake of the movie from the 70s?
You must be mistaken. This is Fox's brand new fall schedule lineup they've announced.
Sounds a lot like a movie that we saw once.
No, I'm pretty sure
named
that's
The Exorcist.
I'm pretty sure that's a fresh take.
Okay.
A new show called 24 Legacy will also be added. This is the story of an elite group of anti-terrorist agents who have to try to conquer a danger in just 24 hours. It'll be done in real time. You'll see the 24-hour clock go by as they try to take on.
But that's 24. That's just that's the Kiefer Sutherland show that was on for all those years on Fox.
That's simply not possible. Prison Break, the story of a brother who tries to get his brother out of prison by going into prison and then trying to get him out from the inside.
So you're looking at a TV guide from 2005 right now.
And another big addition. A show called The X-Files could, in fact, be coming back. More episodes of something called The X-Files about two FBI agents who...
That I'm excited about.
Who believe it's out there.
Why don't they have any shows where there's unheralded singing talent from around the nation that gets together and tries to become some sort
Fox
of...
Fox should try that.
Great right. idea. Some they sort of singing idol or
amateurs
something like that.
Right. And let them compete for a recording contract?
Yeah. What's wrong with them? Come on.
What's happening? What's happening on television?
I don't know.
What are we getting? Why are we getting leftovers?
I guess what we've learned is...
Why doesn't Mommy love us anymore and make
almost,
us new dinners?
Almost all of the new shows that get put on the air get canceled. So I guess they're just
let's cancel something we already know.
Right.
People liked.
I mean, I can't help but notice this is the same show where you told us about Rush Hour on another network already being canceled. I mean, it's exactly the same as doing this Lethal Weapon idea, which is just, well, people liked it in the movies 30 years ago. Maybe they'll like it on TV on Wednesday nights.
However, good news. A sitcom called The Odd Couple has been renewed by CBS. It's the story of two roommates who are wildly different. One is a sloppy sports writer, and the other is a fastidious photographer.
Again, just a remake
they,
from
live
the 70s.
Together in the same apartment, and who knows if that's going to work out, right? Because literally, they are an odd couple.
Wow.
They're a couple of guys who are you wouldn't put together in a social situation
Didn't
normally.
See that coming.
Sometimes it works, I guess.
So, congratulations to that.
Ralph, you're a creative guy.
Nope.
And you have lots of ideas.
Nope.
And you
I don't feel
things.
Like he's asking questions yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, what would you do differently if you were running a network? Are they all stupid, or are they doing what makes sense in their business, which is, hey, it's hard to get eyeballs, but at least if people heard a Lethal Weapon, maybe they'll give it a try.
But if you think about the shows...
30-year-old...
Yeah, if you think about the shows that have grabbed people's attention and have caught on, whether it's Empire or New Girl, I mean, these are shows that people hadn't seen before that was featuring...
Or Modern Family.
Modern Family was featuring, you know, some... veteran actors that you knew and loved, but largely fresh faces that you hadn't seen before, with fresh writing talent and showrunners with a you know, a new perspective. I mean, look, it's all going to get canceled anyway. You're going to get only a few hits out of the batch, so why not bring some fresh voices to the screen versus trying to just rehash stuff that is, you know, 30 years old.
I'd prefer it too. I'd rather Grindr and Grandfather were still on the air, because at least they were something new. You know what I mean?
So keep trying new things until you find something that works. But falling back on the Exorcist just, I think, just smacks of desperation. And look, this is could all be moot, because I could look like an ass 6 months from now when The Exorcist is the number 3 rated show on television.
Right.
Who knows?
We've all been wrong about things before. I mean, look, I was the first to say making a TV show out of the movie Fargo was a bad idea.
Yeah, you're right.
And it was great. And was both great. Seasons were great. So I guess it all depends on who's doing it. But it is, it's depressing when I hear that that's the Fox lineup.
Yeah. Although, that being said, my buddy Kevin Smith, we announced over Hollywood Babylon over the weekend, he is currently in talks with MGM about bringing Buckaroo Banzai to television as a series. Now, that's something I don't mind so much, because that's a property that has largely a cult audience, and a lot of people aren't familiar with that story. And I think it's a great story with some great characters. It's weird. It's quirky. It's a great film.
So
one of my
super
favorites.
Niche at the time.
Yeah, but at the time, it you know didn't really catch on in theaters, and since became sort of a cult classic on DVD and on cable viewings. But a lot of people aren't familiar with that, and I think it's a great story with a great bunch of interesting, weird characters. So that could be something that you could introduced to a whole new audience who had never seen it before. So that bothers me less when a cult product is sort of, you know, given a chance to reach a wider
audience. Right, like a Guardians of the Galaxy or something comes out that didn't happen. Have you already gone back after the announcement and watched the original movie to see what the Ralph Garman role is going to be on the TV show?
I haven't yet, but trust me, that's on my to-do list.
Come on, Mr. Smith.
Kevin,
look a brother up.
Kevin initially didn't want to talk about it. He wouldn't want to tell tales out of school, because he talked about this meeting. It was a different story about going to some meeting and what had happened to him. And I said, well, what's the project you're working on? He's like, man, I can't really talk about it. I said, if there's a chance that I could get at something, then you're telling me, goddammit. And I forced the information out of him. But
it's only fair.
If you've never seen Buckaroo Banzai.
I haven't.
Or Buffalo Banzai either, which is sort of a lesser version of it, really. It's the movie entirely acted out by Bison, and it's not really as exciting. But Buckaroo Banzai is a very fun, entertaining, weird film that I think if you like sci-fi and superheroes and that kind of stuff, you'll like that. So check it out. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, wait, one more story real quick. Courtney Stodden. I wanted to touch on that again. Courtney Stodden. You remember her as the child bride of Doug Hutchinson, the actor?
Yeah, she was 16. He was 100.
And she looked like she was 40. And she kept saying how everything was natural, even though she had these wildly inflated breast implants. And they were a weird couple.
Yep.
And certainly became addicted to the spotlight once that story broke. They were on every reality show, and she seemed to be omnipresent. Every red carpet.
And she couldn't even walk like a normal person.
No, she couldn't talk like a normal person.
She sashayed through every scene to make sure she looked glamorous.
And that interview they did, that famous interview where they talked about their relationship, they've announced that she is pregnant.
Yes.
So I'm glad that she is going to be having a kid with him. That'd be great.
I can't believe they're still together, Ralph.
Well, they did break up for about a year. But I think they realized there was more power... There's more publicity power in their relationship if they stayed together than there was separately. But who knows? They could be very much in love, and I could be misreading the situation.
Here they are on with Dr. Drew talking about, among other things, the age difference, which between them was, what, about 35 years, something like that?
He was 15. She was 16 at the time. So,
do you understand why people are reacting so negatively to your circumstance?
Yes and no. We both knew, and we talked about this when we started.
Just in your gut, you know why. Come on.
Yes.
16 and 50.
Yes.
It's a little gross.
It's not gross, but to us.
To you, I understand. But you understand people reacting to it. That's their reaction.
I suppose in the West, in our Western culture, yeah.
Well, in the Western,
yeah, in the Western culture.
When you put it that way, I guess that makes.
On Venus, however, on the planet Venus, it's wildly popular.
We're the same age on Venus.
That's right, because of gravity.
Dr. Drew sounded like he wanted to fight.
Yeah, Drew's going to throw some blows at that guy right there. She said in a recent interview that he's the perfect husband because she has a big feathery bathrobe that she likes to wear, and he goes around picking up the feathers. So,
wow,
that's the secret, I think, of a happy marriage. Right?
Okay. All right.
Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays. Bill Paxton, 61 years old today. Bob Saget is 60. Sugar Ray Leonard turns 60 as well. I don't know how many times I need to correct you on this one, but Sugar Ray Leonard is a legendary 60-year-old African-American boxer, and this is a band featuring Mark McGrath, who's very white, and not 60.
What?
So those differences, I think, would be apparent.
I miss that song. That's a good song, isn't it?
For a boxer, he's a pretty good singer, right?
Once again, I think you're deeply confused by the two. Craig Ferguson's 54 years old today. Trent Reznor's 51. Josh,
what if your name was Asshor?
What if your name was Asshor, Trent Reznor?
We've interviewed Trent Reznor. We've interviewed him 8 times, Bean? 9?
Probably.
I would never ask him that question.
No. You are not the legend that was Jed the Fish. That's
correct.
Why. Josh Homme of Queens is 43 years old today, and Nikki Reed celebrates her 28th birthday. I am Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to K-Rock commercial-free in the 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Adam Carolla's on the program.
Yeah.
We're going to catch up with Mark Hoppus and find out what that was like for playing, you know, being the special guest at Weenie Roast.
And confetti.
And the confetti.
Let's talk about confetti.
The lungs full of confetti. Bill Hader will be on the program tomorrow. And wow. Henry Rollins will be in studio.
Wow. What a batch.
Plus, we've got tickets for The Cure and Blink-182 and Louis C.K. and the Galaxy. So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.